cousin Todd got drafted? Damn this war!
Not worth more than $15 million.
How do you plan on celebrating?
We're having a cookout!
And welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are live from the Public Access F-stop with new windscreens in front of our microphones, guys.
Yes, so if you notice that we sound way better, it's
way better.
Sound kind of better.
We sound way better. And we're going to put this on wax for you guys to listen to soon. We got the top 40 in
thanks to the Dragon Pad Pop filters.
That's right.
Dragon. I can say pop and you won't hear the pops pop.
Yeah.
Ordered on Amazon. 4.5 star rating.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one negative review said, I don't know what this is for.
This lollipop tastes like shit. So we're happy campers to be talking about what today, Regan?
Three topics. Topic number one, tell us about a time when you got hurt by something supposedly safe. Topic number two, describe your first roller coaster experience. Afterwards, did you like them or hate them? Again. Topic number three, if you owned a hotel, what specific scent would your hotel rooms smell like?
And we are pleased as punch. Pleased as punch to have on the podcast.
Real quick, I gotta mark that one as yours because it's gonna have all sorts of scraps and spit all over that mic screen.
I have a beard. We have...
No excuse.
We are pleased as punch to have on the podcast for the 30-ary time, Brian...
Three-time champion.
Powell, Brian Powell on the podcast.
Well, don't over-accentuate the beast.
They don't hear him, dude.
That's what these screens are for.
Yeah, man.
They help, but they don't fully eliminate.
Like they're like condoms, man. I can fuck whoever I want. Whenever I want to.
Yeah.
That's what condoms are for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for the first
time... No diseases, no kids.
On the podcast, it's been a pleasure to meet this partifinous, polite...
God damn it, stop it.
...person. A people person, I'd say. Mr. Jake Layla, how are you, sir?
Pleased to be present.
Wow! Mr. Popper's Penguins. So, guys, Brian, this is your, you've been on thrice.
Yeah.
And this is your first time.
Yeah.
So, Brian, what do you think Jake has to expect on the Public Access podcast?
Oh, God. Expect to come to know something today.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it is.
That's the rule.
You're going to learn something.
You're
going
to learn something.
Now, you two are regulars at the Blind Tiger Comedy Club located inside the Magic Time Machine inside the Mineshaft Saloon. But you are also the hosts and curators of a new show in San Antonio, Texas, at the Oak Hills Tavern. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a show me and Brian put together. It's called Last Call Comedy. We were really lucky to get that particular venue. Brian had some connections with the local bartender there.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
He has connections with lots of bartenders.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
Alcoholic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was a compliment, like right? A ladies' man kind of thing.
But or networking.
He went that way with it.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, well, we're just really excited to be able to put on something new in a new venue and get comics to come out and be able to show other people that, you know, San Antonio's got great comedy.
Now, when is it?
The one at Oak Hills Tavern is the second Wednesday of every month. Mm-hmm. It's actually, Last Call Comedy is not exclusive to that place. We actually have a show on Thursday of next week. They were trying out at Sound Creator Studios.
Thursday, what's the date? Because when is this going to air?
I don't know.
This isn't live.
I know.
So it's going to be Thursday when?
The date does not matter.
19th.
No, it's the 19th. 19th of November.
19th of November.
And yeah, it's next door to the Woodlawn Theater.
Ooh.
And so if that works out, that'll be a once a month thing as well. And we're also talking to a couple other bars that I frequent, Larry.
Yeah. Last Call Comedy. I like it. And this is a reference to Last Call for Alcohol.
Yeah.
That was actually his idea.
Yeah, it actually comes from me and Brian both meeting at the Blind Tiger. So as a part of the Midnight Showcase every Friday at the Blind Tiger, it would always end at 2 in the morning, mm-hmm. and that's Last Call. And so because it's comedy and it's because it came from that, we thought it'd be good to name it.
I like it.
Yeah. I like
it's
it too.
Marketable.
I like
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Bars will be happy to do it.
it's got a nice ring to it. Yeah,
it does. Good. It has a nice ring that you can dance to it.
Right.
And Jake, you also do drawings?
I do. I do the drawings.
You do drawings? So how long have you been drawing shit?
I've been doing it forever. I thought I was going to originally just go off and be a tattoo artist, but then I realized that I had to get tattoos to do that, so I went to college.
No, that's not true. Oh, you just need hepatitis.
There you go. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's like, I have hepatitis. Oh, and so, good. Yeah, you're like, oh, you don't need tattoos, but you can tattoo me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, people get ridiculed, though, if you don't have tattoos mm-hmm. when you're a tattoo artist.
I would imagine so. Yeah.
But that's
never
so,
trust
that's
a
so,
skinny cook.
That's so punk, though. Yeah. How punk would that be?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'd be like a straight edge dude, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, drugs. But he's this magnificent fucking tattoo artist.
But he's a great drug dealer.
Yeah.
And he's he'll bust the jaw, too. Like, he'll fuck someone up if you pissed him off. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
He's like the dude from SLC Punk.
Yeah.
No, that's my favorite character of all time.
Yeah.
What's his Mike.
Mike. Yeah.
The actor.
What's his name? Jason Segel.
Yeah.
It's like a virgin who can fuck good, dude.
When you're 7 feet tall.
It's like
tall.
A prostitute who won't have regular sex, right? Who won't have sex for money.
No. It's a virgin prostitute. Wait.
No. It's a prostitute that's that a won't have sex for money.
It's a virgin stud.
That won't have non-money sex.
Virgin stud.
No, it's
because you're like, why
dedicated
won't
dedicated to her job. She's a workaholic.
No. He'll do it to someone else.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're like a top that won't be a bottom.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I only pitch.
Yeah, that's right. You never catch.
Nah.
He doesn't get butt fucked. He just butt fucks.
Yeah.
That's everybody.
You
should get into doing tattoos, man.
I'm not a good artist. That's the point.
Oh, okay.
And I have hepatitis.
So you're halfway there. That's all, you know. Yeah.
That's good, dude. Yeah, I think you're a good drawer, man.
Oh, nice.
You draw well.
What's your favorite drawing?
Ever.
I have one that I actually call Meine Frau. And
damn it.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
Shut up. And it's charcoal, and I did it a few years back, and it's just somebody looking... You know, right.
Cool.
At the canvas.
How much?
Not selling that one. That one's just
No. How much?
$14,000.
Firstborn child.
Straight up. So if someone offered you $1 million for that painting, $1 million.
Show me the money.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
So there is a point.
There is a point.
None of us here will make that, get to that point.
All right.
But there is a point.
So any rich people that want to fuck someone's principles up.
That's his opus, dude. You can't buy that.
Yeah,
Mr. Holland.
Yeah, I know the fourth is good, Beethoven, but I want to buy the fifth. I want to put my name on it.
Well, if you liked it, you know.
Put a ring on it.
Mm-hmm. Should have. Well, guys, we appreciate you being on the podcast. And for our listeners, they are two white men. So you're going to enjoy this so much more.
Why you got to bring race into this?
Hmm?
Why do you have to bring race into this?
I don't think we've ever had white guests on ever on the podcast.
What are you talking about?
Yes, we have.
I was on twice before.
I think this is the very
first time. I was wearing brown face. Yeah.
That is the most ridiculous statement.
That we've ever had white
people.
What
haven't we had on the show, though?
Dogs, animals?
No. As far as race,
we haven't had.
Obviously, we've had both genders, so that kind of covers those.
At the same time,
we haven't had Middle Eastern. Well,
no, we had Jaffer Khan and Aaron, our emperor.
I guess so. That does count. Yeah, Persian.
Yeah,
Diana's half Asian.
Covered.
Yeah.
Sweet man, first time for white guys.
No, we haven't. I was going to say, okay, so Richard Morgan is European.
Yeah,
more or less.
He's not a white guy.
No, he's as white as he can get.
Not a race.
No, but
no, I'm just saying like cultural slash location to regional. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh
no, but he's like straight up from England.
I guess we need like an actual like Native American slash Inuit.
I'm sure someone we've had has been enough Native American to cover that.
Yeah, I guess
level 12 mage.
We've had a fuckload of paladins, dude.
Yeah.
Have we had Native?
Who does
Native
hardcore?
American?
Who does hardcore board game like gaming? Tyler, doesn't he do like hardcore?
Jackie Cation's husband makes board games. So I think that's by proxy.
She's got to be a level 12 something.
Oh no, she games. She's game.
All right, so we got our bases covered.
We've had gingers.
Yeah, public access where everyone's welcome, sort of.
Yeah,
first time where everyone's welcome, sort of.
First time for white guys, man. Thank you for breaking
that's
the
not,
barrier.
That's not the thing that's happening right now.
Thanks for popping my cherry.
Yeah,
your lives matter.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, also, yeah. Thanks for having us on. Thanks for doing for headlining Last Call Comedy last night.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that
man!
Was awesome.
Larry killed.
Yeah. Chris Mata opened for me.
Yeah.
So I'd like to tell Chris, you're welcome, man. You know. You're welcome.
And put him on the map.
I did.
Yeah. You really gave him a shot. You know?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, hopefully, you know, he'll do something with that. Yeah.
He's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And Regan, thanks for almost doing it.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to get back into the game.
Yeah, get back.
Me and Ryan Timothy Brace are going to do comedy.
Ryan Timothy. Oh, shout out to our Canadian public access fanboy for doing stand-up for the first time. And murdering.
Yeah.
So you did great.
Yeah. Nice suit.
Very nice suit.
I'm a big fan of the suit.
Yeah. I think it's a great touch.
I always like to dress nice.
Reservoir Dog going like, before I rob this bank, I'm going to do a set right quick. And so I liked it, man. Lose the hair, dude. Like, who do you think you are?
What's wrong with his hair?
Shit.
What's wrong with his hair?
You know what's wrong with his
hair. No, I don't know what's wrong with it. It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Is it?
Yes.
Ryan, dude.
God damn it.
It's your boy, Larry.
Yeah.
All right? You owe everything to me.
What?
You know what I'm talking about, man. So fuck you.
Well, there you go. There you go. Keep at it.
Great job, Ryan.
You only have that to look forward to.
Anyway, yeah. I'm going to get back into it, and I'm going to go up to Montreal, and we're going to do comedy.
And then you guys are going to be amazing.
Yeah, let's do a two-man thing. Yeah.
Y'all should.
So here's Drake. Yeah.
Yeah. Big Red and Poutine.
I brought you guys some gifts.
Again!
Brian Timothy Powell.
I have your first gift still here.
Larry, I brought you a face.
Oh, no! It's a face! It's a face!
It's a face! It's a skin face.
It's a skin face.
It's a face. It's a leather face.
Yeah, Larry is a Slayer song.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Dead skin mask.
That dead skin mask.
R.I.P. Gunnar Hansen.
Larry, in no way, shape, or form looks bad with that on.
Yeah, it looks very appropriate.
Yeah.
It
doesn't fit. Well, it's your beard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, we're here. I'm wearing my present, so.
Larry has... He's a little muffled.
Yeah.
That mic screen's going to have a little bit of face on it. Left.
So I'll do a turkey po' boy with fries and a sweet tea. And yes, I'll take a dozen piece chicken for $2.99.
Sure, man. Go ahead and drive right on through. We appreciate your business here at Chicken Skin Shack. Thanks for my present.
I think it's awesome.
Regan, I know you like wacky snacks and stuff.
Woo!
And stuff.
A Oblias San Pablo milk candy wafer.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you not from
around
San Antonio.
That's the body of Christ, dude.
Yeah, they'll give me the poops.
It's hard to describe what these are.
It's a Eucharist host with caramel.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. A giant one. It's a very big Eucharist.
It's a flat piece of delicious milky caramel.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's
very milky.
Yeah,
as big as my... I could wear this as a mask.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it.
No, but now it's in front of
now
the filter.
You can't hear you, though.
Yeah, you just blocked
yourself. I put it on the filter because it fit perfectly, and you can hear me.
All these
Thank
new
you,
filters.
Brian.
Yeah, that's I also wonderful. Got you a Bill Cosby bar.
What? It says Loopy.
There's two of them in there. There's two bars. And
you save one for later.
It's not a king-size bar.
This is save one for later in quotations.
Save
one for later.
So this is a giant king-size Snickers.
We know you're going to eat it, fat
that they broke into two. So that you can split it for later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ingredients just say ketamine over and over again.
It's like two minis, but you pay for like the price of a big one.
Anyway. Yeah, I love it.
And this is for all of y'all. It's Mary Kay lotion. Just samples.
There's three of them.
Yeah.
Are you a Mary Kay consultant?
I love
it. Those are samples. If you want the whole, you have to buy the, you know.
Where the smells and the scents of them.
It's Satin Hands, fragrance free.
Mm.
So this is just a hand cream.
I love it.
When you buy the whole two, does it come with the woman who sells it?
Wow, man.
Come on, dude.
Sorry.
You're going to be that guy.
No, man.
No, man. Come on, man. We don't disrespect ladies. We just wear their face.
If that's not a way to respect a woman more than anything, it's wearing their face.
Thank you, man. You know what I mean? Like, thank you, man. Like, I think women are beautiful, and I think I'm ugly. So I take the beauty from them, put it on this, everybody wins.
Yeah. Their beauty lasts forever.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of lasts for about, you know, about 2 to 3 weeks, then it starts to turn.
Larry is wearing a face mask.
And it's very cool.
Uh-oh.
The gifts just keep on coming.
What happened? Jess, these are for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, hold on.
Ryan.
Did you make it?
No, don't start. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Don't start. It is a Magic the Gathering card. It is a Silkbind fairy.
Yeah, dude.
You know, tap target creature flying, so there's a flying category. This will be awesome for my collection of Magic the Gathering mismatch cards. This will be like the 7th one.
Wow.
Stop it.
You'll be able to tell.
Here we go.
No, well, first one should I talk? Okay. The Ultimate Cookout Mixtape.
Yeah, dude.
Music inspired by the cookout.
Yeah.
So if you want to know what music.
Mixed and hosted by.
The Finisher Mr. C. So if you want to know what cookout music is, the summer movie starring Queen Latifah.
Oh, please.
Making good.
Start this podcast with
ja
a track.
Rule.
Please start this
Danny
podcast
Glover.
With a track from the cookout mixtape.
Tim Meadows.
That is what's starting this track.
Farrah Fawcett.
What?
And introducing Storm P. So, and what's awesome about this is that it is in true mixtape fashion. It comes in a very Memorex generic CD case that's miscolored. The front's colored, the back is yellow. Very home pressed, very home brewed. Yeah. Mixed and hosted by the Finisher, Master C. Look out for the cookout in theaters September 3rd.
Look out for the cookout.
Look out for the cookout. Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
When's that movie coming out?
September 3rd. It's called.
September 3rd, what year? 2008? 2002?
Oh, that came out.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. And look for it in theater September 3rd, 2004.
Yeah. That was a movie?
Yeah, let's look it up. Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
It had Danny Glover in it.
It did have Danny Glover in it. There's little caricatures of all the actors.
Did you hear that, Samson? We wasted our time.
Oh, man. Oh,
wait, but well, there's more.
But then there's more. Oh, but wait, there's more. There is also Truth or Dare, A Game of Passion. And it is a like candy cane type of case with a woman sitting on top of a man. And if I open up this deal, it is a game of passion. It is a card game that you play with your partner. There's a little die.
Do you hear that, Lisa?
It's on the cover. It's got someone about to spank, I think, a woman on all fours.
I think if you just,
let me see.
Yeah, if you just
go wet.
All right, here we go, Jess.
Roll for touch my eyes.
You got to do this first one.
All right.
It's truth.
Oh, it's truth. Okay. But wait, how do you play the game?
It doesn't matter.
No, you're supposed to roll the dice.
You're supposed to roll the dice,
man. Landed on truth. All right. There it goes. Ready?
All right.
Let's get some sexy music.
It's going to be a track from the cookout mixtape. Right,
the sexiest track.
The sexiest track.
We're going to play some sexy music from the cookout mixtape. 3, 2, 1. All right. We're out here cooking. Wait, while they out there cooking, we in here looking for some love.
Mr. C, is that you?
Nah, man.
This is Storm P.
This is Storm Ass P. I've been dead since 2005. All right, baby. When you were younger, way younger. What was the sexual fantasy you replayed most often in your mind?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Who or what inspired this fantasy?
This is a very easy answer.
When you were a child and you were discovering yourself and your body, what did you repeat over and over again?
Oh, this is a real answer. This is a very real answer. There was a fine-ass girl who gave like fajita tacos at this fucking flea market. And I was probably like coming of age, and that was like the first like in my mind sexual fantasy. What was the fantasy? Having sex, having sex with the girl who served They were like fajita, like grill tacos or something at a fucking flea market.
Do we all answer that, or do we get a new question?
No, you get a new question.
Damn it, I kind of...
We're not going to play this game. No, when Aaron was awesome enough, I'm going to throw in this Magic the Gathering card in the mix of that game.
We're going right
because I'm
going
to tap.
I'm not even doing it out of
Would
order.
You guys like to try a slice of Oblea San Pablo candy wafer?
All right, Brian. Since you bought this game and you're Jess's partner...
It's like caramel.
Wait, this isn't a dare, is it?
Here we go. If you and your partner were offered large sums of money to perform erotic acts, because it's bigger than the other, in a nightclub, what is the most daring and scandalous routine you would perform for the right sum? What would you do for $5,000? For $25,000?
That's a long goddamn question.
For $100,000? Name your price for specific...
This is so long.
Name your price for specific acts and the costumes or props you would need.
But are you supposed to play this... Are you supposed to play this with multiple
with boner,
couples?
Yeah.
No, with other couples? Or is it just amongst you and your partner?
How to play now that you have a willing partner.
Come
Wait,
on.
What? That's the first thing it says. Now that you have a willing partner.
Thank God she's willing.
And you're ready to play, decide who'll go first. Be daring, volunteer, roll the dice.
It's probably like a weird group.
All right, here we go, Jake. What part of your partner's body do you find the most erotically fantasizing? Fascinating. How would you feel? How did you feel when you first discovered it? So...
It's like a, I feel like that should just be summarized like boobs or ass.
All right.
wait, that's your answer?
that would be ass, obvious.
Okay. Yeah.
How did
yeah.
I feel?
Yeah. Regan.
All right. Here we go.
What do you think is more dominant in the bedroom, you or your partner? Do you ever fantasize about taking the other role? Describe.
No.
Yikes. Describe one of your fantasies in which you would switch. Well, that just assumes that
no,
you
but that's
would assume, say yes.
What if you say no? So then, yeah.
All right.
He said no, so the card's null and void.
Larry. All right, here we go. I got it.
How do I know you're reading the right question?
You read over me. If you were open. If you were
open to the possibility of a
threesome. Mm-hmm. You hearing this, Andy?
Who would be your ideal third partner?
Ooh.
Participant.
And who would you do?
What would you do?
What would you do if given this opportunity? If I were given the possibility of a threesome, who would your ideal third partner be? What about who's my ideal first partner?
Your partner, Larry.
Oh, okay.
Your wife.
All right,
that's
so that's
supposed
her.
To be.
So then, all right. So to have a hardcore threesome with, I'd have to go like Ellen, because I would want Andy to have a good time, and Ellen would know how to fucking
you would not want to have sex with Ellen.
And then no, I'd smash Ellen.
Okay,
but I care more about.
But you can spend Andy. A little time like classic guy in the corner just fluffing.
Nah, I'm. My dick's in something.
Oh, okay.
Right? And if Ellen's all like, ew, I'd be like, come on, Ellen. And she's like, I've never had... And she's like, oh, it's too big, because, you know, she's not used to it. And then...
I don't...
And then what would you do if given this opportunity? I'd have sex with two chicks.
All right. Well, that was supposed to be meant for Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was a shared experience.
He's got plenty more cards. There's 100 more cards.
These are the front ones. So, Lisa, get ready.
Yeah.
You think about his answer.
I didn't do the dares.
All right.
Roll the dice.
No. Hold on. I'm just going to read the dare.
I've got another gift.
We're not going to do it. One more real quick.
Okay.
For the next 5 minutes, your partner is your new master.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
Whatever master wants, master gets. Your job is to try to keep him or her happy. If this dare makes you nervous, you can always remind your new master that what comes around goes around soon enough. It'll be your turn to
Hepatitis
be the master.
C.
Yeah.
I want the glow.
Huh?
Glow.
The glow, yeah, that's what he wants, yeah.
Baked, the last dragon.
Baked goods.
Speaking of
if
glow.
I'm the master, who's the master? Show no. Who's the master? I am. And then I had the glow.
Yeah, man. The gift.
He's got the glow.
Gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
A lovely gift. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to incorporate my 7 magic cards into this game of...
Those are draw fours.
Yeah.
Don't draw fours.
If you get a magic card, it's a draw four.
Wild card, dude.
Yeah.
Reverse.
Skip. Somehow you also got Uno in there.
All right, what's happening? What are we doing here? Another gift.
The last gift is for Jake. It's a glow stick. Here you go.
Oh, he's got the glow.
I got the glow.
Oh, man. What?
Yeah.
Put this in the microwave.
Yeah, okay, real quick, let's all eat one of these pieces of stuff, and everyone tell me, what's that aftertaste?
Oh, I didn't even know.
Drywall.
I didn't even know.
Is it drywall?
It feels like
drywall. Is that what you're going to go with?
Yeah.
Okay, did you eat one?
Yeah, body of Christ with the caramel of Christ.
I didn't know. Is that what the aftertaste is? Like a pizza, that's awesome.
No, I cut it.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, shit, okay, there we go, that makes sense.
So we're eating the San Pablo milk candy wafers, which Larry described as body of Christ with caramel, which is fitting. I guess I've never eaten body of Christ before.
Yeah, man. Well,
because that's
know,
that aftertaste.
Tell me what hell's going to be like.
I'm trying to, but you know what? Drywall, it's something.
You've tasted drywall.
It's not.
That's a fact, by the way.
It's something man-made that I'm tasting, that aftertaste.
It's good. It is the wall of an East Side crack house that you have tasted, my friend. It is the funniest thing in my
life.
It's
good, but it's that aftertaste that I'm trying to put my finger on.
That aftertaste, though?
It's kind of like caramel popcorn, almost.
Mm.
Wow.
Body of Christ.
No, that's what it is. Body of Christ, caramel.
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I guess I'm just not Catholic
But that's
enough.
Literally what it is, though, too.
Mm-hmm. It tastes exactly what it like.
Are,
what
are
it
these,
is.
Are these given out in Catholic ceremonies?
These wafers, yeah.
No, but with caramel.
No.
Oh, what about like during Easter?
No, I'm gonna, dude.
Okay.
Speaking of Easter, my glow stick has a human Wario nose instead of a correct bunny nose, which
that
is trying
freaky
on.
As that shit. Is- it is a bunny with a human nose,
as opposed to like when humans put the little bunny nose on.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just wearing a human nose.
Wow.
Yeah.
For funsies.
I'm wearing a human nose too, y'all. I know what you feel like, buddy. So, Brian and Jake, thanks for being our first Caucasian guests. Yeah,
they're not our first Caucasian guests.
And we appreciate it, man. This podcast is going to be really, really good with this new perspective.
And the new sound from the
Dragon Pad.
Dragonfly.
Dragon Pad Pop Filter.
Rated number one. Pop filters on Amazon. Get yours now. $6.99 with free shipping with Amazon Prime.
Will not block cheese puffs.
They take the wind from beneath your wings.
All right, Jess, so what do we got today?
Hey, everybody, it's time for another exciting installment of Yeah, we're looking at that, a segment where I talk about the latest in movies and video games and all kinds of fun stuff, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners will be, yeah, we're looking at that. So this week, we're talking about a documentary entitled Killing Them Safely, and it was originally called Tom Swift and His Electric Rifle. And it is a narrowing look into the makers of the taser gun.
Yeah, that's what it stands for, right? The Tom Swift and His Electric Rifle is what you get the acronym taser from.
That's what it was. And that's actually like an old book, apparently. I didn't know that, but apparently it's based off an old book.
How do you know that?
I've actually read the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. The guy has a shotgun that just shoots laser, like little electric bolts out of it. Like it just shoots like little
in
lightning
the
bolts.
Book.
Yeah. And he's just this, it's kind of like a Tom Hardy thing.
Right, exactly. Like, it's a classic older book, right?
Yeah. And it's just a kid who gets, like, a ridiculously futuristic weapon, and he goes around like, and he just shoots people with lightning bolts.
Fun.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, apparently the makers, Tom and Rick Smith, their brother entrepreneur team, they took that idea from the book, apparently, and then ran with it, and their idea was to make a safer way for police or armed forces or whatever to incapacitate people that would be non-deadly, non-lethal, and it was introducing kind of a new era of crime control. And it was invented in 1999, and then it was rolled out in around 2001. But what this movie presupposes is that...
What if he didn't?
What if it's not safe? Because according to the filmmakers of this movie, Killing Them Safely... Over 500 people have died from taser attacks from 2001 to 2012. If you average that out, it's about like 50 deaths a year from accidental taser deaths. And so they're basically trying to kind of look into what is going on wrong with them. If you do the numbers versus like how many times it is.
The thing is, you can't call it an accident.
That's kind of their viewpoint on it, where
accidentally, they weren't supposed to die.
Right.
But when you get shot with one, there's a reason.
Don't right. tase me, bro.
So how they can't really be called that. I get it. I get it. It's like
accidental it's like, death.
It's like malpractice. You know?
Yes.
It's like,
yeah, right.
No, yes. It's like getting killed by punching somebody. You didn't have the intention of kill them. You just wanted to hurt them.
So it's involuntary death. Involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, I'm sorry.
I get it. Okay.
So basically they're trying to put out the evidence, visual evidence. The movie contains a lot of actual video clips and actual real life situations of taser attacks gone horribly wrong. And it's basically trying to crack down the truth of like, why aren't you trying to fix this? And the guys making the money, making the taser, whatever. They're like, hey man, you know, we made this. It saved lives. It saved thousands of lives. And, you know, and all that good stuff. But this documentary is kind of like on the attack. So my viewpoint of it is like, I don't know. I guess I like to see it out of curiosity, but 500 deaths out of 11 years that averages to 50.
No taser is supposed to kill
anyone. Right.
No.
And that's,
but,
so that's where, I mean,
but you do realize the taser is eliciting a high voltage. Like, you know, you're shocking someone. Yeah. So that'd be like, hey, there's an old person around the corner. Let's scare the hell out of them. You're like, well, we could kill them.
Yeah, pacemakers and all that kind of shit. Yeah. And people with metal inside them. I'm sure that.
So that's why I think the movie would be interesting to see is to see the statistics of where it went wrong. Why people did they die? And is it something that's on the fault of the makers of the taser? The people that make the taser, they are the taser owners. There's no like third party, like there's no phaser.
Yeah.
You know, there's not like the Kony version to Sony. There's just Taser and that's all it is. And that's right. Like worldwide. And so they're harnessing all the bucks. And so the movie kind of has that on the offense of like, well, these guys are getting all the money from selling this death machine. And so, but at the same time, you're like, you know, the numbers versus how many times it used, that would be interesting to see what exactly is brought up into the movie. So the movie's called Killing Them Safely. Formerly titled Tom Swift and His Electric Rifle. I thought it looked very interesting. Yeah. So that inspires our first topic for the night. And the topic is, tell us about a time where you were hurt by something that was supposed to be safe. You know, this taser is supposed to safely incapacitate, well, safely as you could be, incapacitate people and keep everybody out of harm's way. It puts down the person. The cops aren't hurt. Other people aren't hurt. But the perpetrator still alive. Most times.
What's funny is I just saw a story today that a guy got killed, but he got tased 21 times.
Oh, 21 times.
Yeah. Well, that serves 20. He wasn't down.
But the cause of death on the report was cocaine overdose.
Oh, okay. Not related to that lady. There was another video report that came out, and it was a woman who was driving around in a stolen car, and the guy tried to stop it, and like he got out of his car, but 3 seconds out of his car, she ran right into him.
I saw that this morning.
It's intense because it's from his body cam, so you just see him get out of the car, and he's like pulls his gun out. He's like, stop, but it's like before he can think, smash. It looks like it runs into him, but luckily he survived, but like all the cops, they're like guns on her, and it's this crazy.
Yeah, they should shoot her.
There's this crazy woman out in the car going, I'm God, motherfucker!
No, she pops out the top of the moonroof, and then they just like, taser!
Yeah, they fucking taser her. I'm surprised she didn't just get dropped in most scenarios the way the world is lately now.
Yeah. Hey, but those Jackass movies wouldn't be good without tasers.
Crazy?
Yeah. 100%.
100%.
She called herself God.
Yeah, she deserves
it. She popped her arms out of the car. She's like, I'm God, motherfucker. And that's like, you can hear the cop's tone of voice, okay, taser. Like, not funny, but still in operating mode. But you can hear the tone of voice switch, like, oh no, she's crazy, just taser.
But that's the Tommy Boy bees escape to where she wasn't crazy. She's like, how am I going to get out of this? I'll say I'm God.
Yeah.
And then she wearing a face?
I don't know.
The way look at her face, it looks like she was wearing a face. She was on something fun. She's she was under the influence of something really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bathing salts.
That drug makes you think you're God.
So that aside, whatever. So the topic is what is something, tell us about a time that you were hurt by something that was supposedly safe. And I thought it was a very interesting question. It's a very difficult question, but I had to kind of think about, like, maybe go back to childhood and think about how toys are supposed to be safe. Toys are supposed to be harmless. You're not supposed to be hurt by toys. They even have warnings. Like, you're safe as long as you're not this young.
Right.
Right? But the time that did not fly for me literally was this one time where I had one of those zip cord helicopters. Yeah. And you have a little helicopter on a base, and there's a zip cord, and you pull the zip cord, and it shoots the helicopter. The propeller blade kind of flies off, and the helicopter just flies off blindly up into the air. So back in the age of, like, when you're, like, mid-middle school, and you and your friends intentionally hurt each other, like, that's what you do when you're a little boy. Yeah. You just intentionally hurt each other. You throw spear grass at each other, or you throw, like, you know, Roman candle wars and all this other shit. Well, this jack-off friend of mine, really close friend of mine at the time, thought it would be great to launch this helicopter at me. So if you hold the helicopter like a normal helicopter, it flies upward. He was thought, what if I pointed it like a gun almost and zipped out and making it fly? So the reason why I bring this up and say it was safe is because it's a toy. It shouldn't do anything because it's a toy. It should just not work that way. But he pulls the zip cord in this helicopter, and it shot like a bullet. Like, it shot vertically like a bullet toward me. And I was a round kid, as I am round now. And this – it was just one of those magic bullet fucking moments where the propeller happened to, like
– like, make juice out of all your fruits?
It happened to, like, just catch – my bullet. Shirt wasn't long enough. I had a little bit of gut hanging out. This helicopter.
You were Dora the Explorer.
Oh yeah, I'm Bart Simpson, Dora the Explorer. Clothes don't fucking fit. Tummy hanging out, and this fucking helicopter found the fucking honey spot, and the propeller it basically like ninja juiced my fucking stomach with the propeller blade.
Magic bullet.
Yeah, it magic bullet. It fucking snagged my stomach, and it if you were, I guess if you were to do like the whole high speed camera and slow it in slow motion, what it would be like is if you had like
a dough mixer
and it needed this propeller blade needed my fucking stomach and it pinched it and it bruised it, and
you're
it was one of those
pizza dough.
It made fucking cookie dough out of my fucking stomach. And it was funny because when he pointed at me, I didn't have the sense to move out of the way because it's fucking stupid. Who That wasn't supposed to work. Yeah. He was like, like, let me fire this helicopter. It was supposed to, like,
He wasn't your friend, man.
No, as it turns out, he wasn't. He fucking Duncan Hines my fucking stomach with a toy helicopter. So, so there. It's supposed to be safe. It says it's safe for kids fucking 4 and over, and I'm well over fucking 4. I'm like 12, you know.
All right.
So, yeah, so there's a good example.
So my real answer is actually the answer for our second question for what? Dad's Cornered.
Oh, okay. So, we'll get to that later.
We'll skip that. You know, I just want to state that real quick.
Right. Okay. That's interesting.
So my second answer, my family loved fireworks. Love fireworks.
Right.
And it's supposed to be safe.
Are they supposed to be safe?
Let me finish my story because it has nothing to do with a firework. All right. Okay. What's supposed to be safe are when there's a ban on fireworks and your grandma, the matriarch of your family, says, I do not want fireworks in or around my house. I do not want to get a fine. And my Marine infantry Vietnam vet uncle takes it upon himself that he still wants everyone to have a good time and see some sparkly sparks. And, kind of light up the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So he was the kind of guy that would just blow his wad at National Army Surplus. So he said, all right, guys, Grandma said no fireworks, but I got a flare. flare slugs for a 12-gauge shotgun.
There you go.
So he goes in the middle of the street.
God bless America.
Well, all these kids. Yeah. Well, it wasn't 4th of July. It was New Year's Eve. And he, in the middle of the street where children are playing with sparklers and jumping jacks, just and this flare, which was intended to be shot in the air so people can find you. So it just shot, right? And scared the shit out of everybody, right?
Yeah.
He did that twice. And where it hurt me was he had this. Now, It wasn't tear gas? God damn it. But this is 100% true. It was supposed to be used for riots, and on it, it said non-lethal. It said it was safe.
Cool.
It said for
it said for it said for, something, for leisure purposes only. Yeah,
no, it said
for family fun.
It basically said we'll fill an entire city block is what it said. And to his point, he said, "No, these are just like those little ball smoke bombs, just bigger because everything just bigger." So this motherfucker, the intention of it was for riots so no one could see.
Yeah.
In front of them. It just made smoke for an entire city block. Jesus. So he goes, all right, here we go. You know, and my aunt's like, I don't think you should. And just throws it in the middle of the street and fills Bailey Avenue. Not our portion of Bailey Avenue. Bailey Avenue, he filled 78210 with smoke, and I couldn't stop coughing. And he kept telling me, it's non-lethal. So I didn't die.
It's safe.
So he was right.
Yeah.
So it was safe. So
and the canister did say non-lethal.
Yeah,
it did
for leisure purposes.
No one died.
No one died. No one died.
It was non-lethal, so it was true. So it was supposed to be a safe New Year's.
It was,
and it was, especially for the cars trying to drive down Bailey Avenue.
You didn't even get hurt.
He had to cough. His lungs hurt.
That's your hurt. Coughing.
I'll allow it.
Hurts. Coughing.
No, that's fine. Okay.
Couldn't get smoke out of my lungs and teary eyes.
Yeah.
All right. How old are you?
I was 10.
All right. That could be scary, I guess.
Yeah. I don't really get hurt. I don't have hurt stories.
Oh, I don't get hurt ever.
Wow. I don't.
I'm unbreakable. Right.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm a chicken shit.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me being tough.
That's right.
If something looks like it's going to hurt me, I go, no. Yeah, and then I walk away.
Your toe or anything?
Yeah, you know what? My coffee table is supposed to be safe.
That's what I'm like. I'm going through all the things that have hurt me or screwed me over or made me cry that weren't supposed to. There's like a ton of them. Like the mandolin thing, the V slicer. I've chopped the tips of my
that's
fingers.
That's not supposed to be safe. But oh, wait. But it's supposed to safely chop vegetables. Okay.
It's supposed to safely
point.
Chop vegetables.
Fair enough.
I've chopped, I want to say, 4 ounces of my own skin off in the past 2 years chopping vegetables.
Can he make a mask for me?
No, it'd just be a bunch of tips of fingers.
Yeah.
And every time, it's just frustrating. Also, the wave pool at Splashtown. That's supposed to be safe, but holy God, yeah, I almost drowned.
Yeah. I got so many boners in those.
What? I've got a few of those.
Yeah.
When you just go- because of... Chicken
just no, because the waves would like constantly the waves just like trunks. Up and down. And
oh, I didn't think of that.
I guess okay.
And chicks in bikinis.
Well, you would go on a date to Fiesta Texas or SeaWorld, and then you didn't, you know, like, hey, let's just hang out in the wave pool. And
that along with like
the
laughter of a one you're attracted to.
I never had that experience, but yeah. I did almost drown.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a little more dangerous.
If I was into autoerotic asphyxiation, I would have gotten a boner.
What would have sucked is he would have drowned next to my boner if we were there at the same time.
This is about boners now, yeah.
But I guess, like, that's another thing that should have been safe. Then stubbing your toe on anything? Anyway,
so that's, yeah, he hates your question, Jess. Riga doesn't like your question.
Like, well, to the point of my picture, the picture that I put, the picture that perfectly illustrates
the pops.
Is stepping on a Lego.
Is stepping on a Lego. Yes. Lego is a perfectly safe toy for children who are smart and old enough not to swallow one. But other than that, they're pretty safe until you step on one.
Yeah.
Which is just agony of defeat, you know.
Oh, yo-hoo. Man.
Yes. All right. Don't
drop the mic, dude.
No, I'm not going to drop the mic for that.
Agony of defeat.
Not at all. Not
I remember I was in high school and I used to do pole vaulting, which, by the way, is just the stupidest sport ever. There's just no reason you should ever want to do this
sport.
So
if you're ever running from
a
zombie?
Not in 760 BC when you needed to, like, scale a wall or something.
Right, yeah.
So zombie apocalypse, you wouldn't just grab a big pole and just...
just go to town.
Have confidence that you can leap
yeah,
over
you'll
a
leap,
fence.
You'll leap over uncontrollably into the other side of the fence where there's a horde of zombies.
Even worse.
Even worse.
Well, no, I'll explain why I don't have any confidence. This is where the story is going. So I was joining the track team, and I was doing pole vault, and to practice getting ready to do pole vault, they don't just let you pole vault. You have to get used to carrying the pole and putting it into the box at the end
of
the
runway. Tough.
And so what they give you is they just put like a plastic box out on the track and you run at it with a big old stick and you try to drop it down in there. And then you just hit it and you just kind of get your steps right. And I was kind of younger and skinny as all shit. And so I remember the whole reason why I was doing this is I wanted to impress girls.
Of course. That's why we all do everything.
Everything we've ever done that's dumb is because of that.
No, just everything that we've ever done is dumb.
Yeah, everything we've ever done.
Fair enough. Yeah, absolutely.
And I can remember running at the box, which is just this big, heavy plastic thing, and dropping down the stick and hitting it, and then immediately popping my shoulder out the back of my back. And then just falling on the ground in front of a whole group of girls and just crying like a little bitch.
Yeah.
And so.
Did you get any?
No. I should have just talked to them.
Jake.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But like you didn't get the whole classic like, oh, are you okay type of thing.
No, that was the reason why I got into track was that I was smitten by the head cheerleader from my
high
school.
What was her
name? Rachel Knapp.
Oh man. They're always Rachel Knapp, dude.
They're always. And I remember she was the only pole vaulter for our school and she got done doing a track meet and I just came over and I was hovering around her and she came on. She's like, Jake, you're so tall and skinny. You'd probably be a good pole vaulter. And I was like, oh,
was she? She was an 1800 slave owner. Like, daughter.
No, yeah.
She was a Southern Belle.
Yeah. She's a Southern Belle.
She was there. Yeah. And she enslaved me immediately. And so
chicken Jake.
You can burn down my house, but don't burn down my plantation. Oh.
Did you go after her box, dude?
I tried.
I was waiting for that thing.
You get it? See, dick, man.
That was the great thing. She introduced me to the track coach who did the pole vaulting, and I showed up like I was going to go to every open mic, like track meet thing where I was like, oh, I'm going to be so good. She's going to love me. You get what I mean. Like,
okay.
I showed up.
Yeah.
You, in the same way that you're like, I'm going to show up to all the practices and she's going to see how good I am. She's going to like me. She never showed up to a single practice. I just showed up every single time like, oh, I'm going to show her. I'm like, practicing my stance and she never showed up.
Goddamn Kathy.
Yeah.
Yep. No, Rachel.
No, but it's Kathy.
This is Kathy.
Yeah.
It's his opus. Yeah. So I definitely.
Rachel Knapp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rachel Knapp, if you're listening right now, man, Jake tried to jump over walls.
He tried to jump over a zombie apocalypse.
Right.
For you. And what were you doing? Making out with fucking Adam.
Yeah. Football player. Wait, what was team captain.
All right. Football player name.
Ooh, Christian Krill.
Ugh. Oh, oh man. That is evil.
Oh, man.
He is a villain.
Oh, that is a villain name.
Yeah.
Christian Krill.
Yeah, he went to McNeil just down the road.
Of course he did.
Krill goes to McNeil. Krill.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the hap with Rachel Knapp, dude?
Sir, they've created a new bioweapon. Who's behind all of this? Christian Krill. I knew it.
Yeah, he's like the jack off.
Rachel Knapp now.
He is like the jack off jock guy that does become a villain, like Venom or like J.J. Jameson's son who went to the moon and came back as what, Silver Wolf or whatever the fuck his name
Joey,
was.
Jojo
Jimerson.
Yeah, right.
This episode of Public Access is. And memoriam of Christian Krill. He's fucking dead. And
he went to freaking Afghanistan, fought for his country, and died.
I thought he was scarred, and then they put him into like a military training program, and then they did experiments on him, and now he's like Silver Fang.
Yeah, right.
He's the Winter Soldier.
He's the Winter Soldier. Yeah.
Thank you for everything you did for us, man.
He discovered life after high school wasn't so hot, you know, being a team shift leader and an alcoholic and remembering the glory days of all the touchdowns, you know.
Brian, tell us about
your
home.
He sat there in a garage with the exhaust going.
Fucking poser.
Oh, man.
Brian.
I don't think that's how Silver Fang died.
They say love's supposed to be safe, man.
That's great.
Well, I have one, but your story about the toy inspired me.
Okay.
Because I remembered that me and my sister used to play this game called Fraidy Cats.
Fraidy Cats. Okay, so it was a board game. It's not ringing a bell, but that that looks great.
Yeah, it's a board game, and you had all these cats, and you moved along this fence. And each fence, there was like a four-walled fence, and you'd move and take turns. And then you'd press this button on this electric dog that had a little wheel in it, and it would go all crazy and like hit the fence. And if it hit your little thing, your cat would fly off.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it was great. Until
Fraidy Cats.
Fraidy Cats.
That's awesome.
Until my sister thought it'd be funny to take the dog and put it on my head.
Oh, yeah.
And so my hair got all caught up in the wheel, which kept spinning.
Is that what happened?
And spinning, yes. It was not fun. And we turned it off. My mom had to like take the batteries out while it's still, because like there's no off. Oh, yeah. Like once you press the button, it goes until
that
it's done.
Sucks.
Yeah. Oh god, that sucks.
And I was screaming. Like, I was crying.
Like this little toy, and it's just like it's mocking you because it's happy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's an angry doggy, right?
Yeah, no, it's an angry dog.
So it was just like
he's going after the cats.
Poor Brad. Like, how old are you,
I
Papa?
Trusted you.
I was probably like 7, 8.
And how old
are
your sister?
10, 11.
Yeah. Oh, little it. Brother.
She was probably loving it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You did this to my dolls. I'll do it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to cut. Couldn't get it out because just got all like wrapped around the entire.
He left the toy in his hair for the next 2 years.
Yeah. It's a good look, though.
That'd be cool.
It was a good look. Started a couple trends.
Yeah.
Now, my real answer, something that's supposed to be safe but ended up hurting me, is my Nana.
Aww.
She was babysitting me one time. I don't know what I don't know what I did. Probably around similar age, maybe younger, I don't know. And for whatever reason, I was probably being a brat. She gave me a little smack in the face.
Right.
Which left a red mark, which lasted the next day when I went to school. So my parents get a phone call.
Yikes.
They're still out of town. My mom's like freaking out because obviously they think, maybe my parents, my mom.
Fuck
Brian.
Like
yeah. So they come home from their trip early.
Oh.
Where are they going?
They were probably skiing in Colorado, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure.
Wow.
They go on lots of trips. And so.
Hedonism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two. Only, only two. And so they came back, some drama happened, whatever. They tell her to, hit the road. And she hasn't babysitted us ever since then.
Hey, Brian.
Even now?
Not even now. Fault. No, we're babysitting her now.
It's not your fault.
But no, it's cool, though. The cool
it's
thing is I got...
It's not your fault.
Cool. So you broke up your family for what?
Yeah. No, like a year later. No, maybe like 2 or 3 years later. We were at the beach, and I remember I took her dentures out of her mouth when we were in the ocean, and I threw them.
Yeah.
And they were gone forever.
And so then there was
forever.
This, there
yeah.
was this like swordfish going like swimming. When he went deep,
that's what I like
to picture. Stupid swordfish, man. Fuck you, stupid fuck.
That is going to be the most confused fisherman ever. He's got that on his wall.
He's like, we found a mermaid. What about the face plant? That was deep, Brian, and I'm sorry that happened to you.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe who went into
the Yeah, there's dentures out in the sea because of it, so win-win. Yeah. There's some Jersey guy catching. What is that, bro? Just keeps on
posting on Facebook.
A big giant tuna with human teeth.
With a big
That tuna's
mark.
Got teeth, bro!
They're evolving!
Facebook answers. Berto Garcia says, a pillow during a pillow fight. Those things hurt as
high velocity. Oh, yeah, man.
Oh,
yeah.
I've seen those high velocity, big punch pillow fights. Have you seen those, man?
No, when you have two older brothers who play baseball.
Yeah, there you go. Oh. The wind up. Yeah.
I got the hell hit out of me.
Yeah.
Brandy Dunnigan says, I know a girl that dislocated her hip while power walking. She was 22. She was 22 years old.
Come on, guys.
Just run, you lazy
fuck. Yeah.
It's an Olympic sport.
These stories aren't meant for follies. It's pretty funny.
Michael Riojas says, my sister once stepped on a doppelganger Spider-Man toy I had and cut her foot open on it. It caught me completely off guard.
Yeah, you if go. Your parents would have spent extra money on actual Spider-Man, your sister would have been safe.
Justin Cooper says, walking barefoot at the beach where sharp shells and sand spurs hide just below the surface, or rusty old play sets
that result in tetanus shots.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Samantha Lyons Reek says, I sprained my ankle badly walking to first base during softball.
Walking.
Walked right up first, put my foot on the side of the base, and my ankle rolled. That's so
I could see it.
The opposing team had quite a chuckle at my expense. I think this is the same game where I hit myself with a bat while batting. My friends, in fear for my life, asked me to stop playing after that.
No. Well, you had cleats, Sam, so, you know, it's like high heels.
No, you don't wear cleats? Off. You don't really.
Yeah, that's a soccer thing.
No, or a baseball, like, you don't really.
Just slipped on those British knights.
You can. But she wore cleats.
You know, for a fact?
I bet you ain't. Right.
Travis K says, as a child, I cut myself with a pair of those safety scissors that we had in kindergarten, first grade.
Impossible.
It is. Andrew Thomas says, any knee-high coffee table error ever. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Monique Martin says, since I'm fairly certain I told you all the full details of my spine getting wrecked, I'll tell you about the time an acorn put me in crutches. Running in platform shoes at 4 a.m., rolled my ankle on a damn acorn. Severe sprain and messed up ligament or something. F acorns, dog.
See, man, like even plants are fucked up, man.
Fucking nut allergy.
So it's 4 in the morning, you're running the platform.
So you know what? A steak wouldn't have hurt.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There was a magic acorn.
A burger wouldn't have hurt her foot. An acorn did. So just cut that vegan stuff out, dude.
Bought you by Bischoff Spread.
Paleo shit, man. It's dangerous.
Dinah McGreehan says, I have a small scar on my back from when I was a kid and took off a little chunk when I was getting out of the bathtub, scraped it against the faucet.
Oh, no!
I can see that happening.
Oh, no! Oh, man!
I can see that.
Oh, that's some Italian horror movie
it
shit.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. I pictured the whole scene.
Yeah, you can see that happen. Or a mandolin slicer. Andy Salinas Garza, whoever the hell that is, said, I busted ass tripping over the baby gate. Gunner added insult to injury and proceeded to crawl over me to get past the gate. He used you as a...
Yeah, to knock the gate down. Just lift it open, bro.
Justin Wilcoxon said, I had safe sex with a girl I really liked and she broke my heart. There you go. Love, man.
That's good.
Dad, did you come?
Yeah, you know he did. You know he did.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You broke your senses.
Gabriel Diaz says, jumped off this rope swing off a large rock in Gardner Park after being assured that it was safe several times. Effed up my leg and my ego in front of a crowd of strangers and friends.
Oh, man.
Alfred Perez says, I got caught in a safety swing once when I was little. Okay, I wasn't little, but I still hurt my leg. safety, my grizzled, angry butt.
A safety swing, and he got hurt in it. That's good. That's the epitome of what you're saying.
Yeah, that is exactly. Yes.
That's a perfect answer.
Yes.
Kenneth Garza says, slightly strangled by hoodie cord jumping off a swing. That's
No.
And then he also says, Nerf bullet eye, which I think all of us.
Yeah.
But the word bullet.
Butterfly
wings, dude.
It's always the dart.
Foam,
it's a dart.
It's a toy gun. How safe can it be?
Exactly.
You can't claim it.
Those are Facebook answers.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, guys, if you were interested into the presupposition of killing them safely, because taser guns are supposed to be...
Presupposition?
Taser guns are supposed to safely disengage a perpetrator. But what this movie presupposes is maybe it doesn't. So, killing them safely. Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And now it's time for another edition of Dad's Corner.
Hooray!
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
Guys, this edition of Dad's Corner asks, what was your first experience with roller coasters, and did you end up liking them or hating them afterwards?
God damn.
Reason why I'm asking this question is because my daughter Mikey, 10 years old, got invited to Fiesta, Texas, and she's 10. And I remember being 10 years old, right? You know, one of her girlfriends, and, you know, I know her parents and stuff like that. They've never, you know, hung out, you know, outside of school. So it's kind of, you know, I'm nervous about that just period. And Fiesta, Texas, I'm sure they'll have a good time. But this little girl likes to go on roller coasters. And so Mikey is kind of having issue with that because she doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. Where
she's never been on one?
Well, here's the story, and this is where I feel extremely guilty as a parent. When she was about 6 years old, like maybe a year older than what Gutter is now, you know, she trusted me very, very much. And so we went to Fiesta, Texas, and we went on a little roller skates, yeah, yeah. A little baby roller coaster, and she liked it. And so I got super excited, and so I said, okay, we like that one. Let's go on the Roadrunner Express.
Yeah. The Looney Tunes coaster.
Because I remember that one being, like, not a bad roller coaster.
Yeah, and it's pretty tame.
Well, not for a baby. Because, holy crap, I forgot how hardcore it is.
It's got two spots.
Compared to the roller skate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Roller coaster. That's a big jump.
There's no, like, in between. With
yeah.
Those.
Well, I thought that was an in between.
No. That's where I disagree, is I think that what I would say that's an in between.
Yeah.
I know it's.
Well, there's no loops and stuff, but it's still pretty cool.
You're not like, hey, let's try the rattle.
There's a lot of drops.
It's a lot of medium drops.
Yeah.
Nothing like too major. For like hardcore fucking roller coaster enthusiasts, it's a kiddie roller coaster.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But for kiddie roller coasters, it's a big roller coaster. Yeah. And so she was petrified, and I felt so bad. And she's like, why did you have me do that? And
why would you do that?
Yeah, exactly. And I've never – there's very few regrets that I have in my life, and that's kind of one of them because I feel terrible. Oh, and we went back to the roller skates, and I bought the picture, and she liked that one. Like, she didn't even want to go on that one, and I kind of made her for the fact that so we could go – On a good note, like, you know, you're not scared.
Yeah, you're not,
you had
yeah,
a good
not
time.
Leaving on a negative note. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because, because we even did a little log ride, and that was fucking too much, right?
Yeah.
Oh. So, and that's when she was little. So ever since then, she's had this kind of phobia for rides. And recently, we took my nephew.
Well, at least the coyote didn't, you know, actually drop the big
the boulder. Yeah. Exactly. That would have fucked her up. And, so we had SeaWorld passes, and, you know, I like roller coasters, and Andy likes roller coasters, but we didn't start liking roller coasters till we started dating. Andy was chicken shit about roller coasters, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, let's just go, let's just have fun, and we got into them, right? And so now I have, like, severe vertigo, so I get real sick when I get on a roller coaster, and it sucks because...
Wait, before you even get on it?
Dude, afterwards, I'm done for the day.
Okay.
Because I've tried to push myself.
Like, one and done?
Yeah. Right. Like, seriously, I can't.
It's just once you're
my
done.
Equilibrium
okay.
Back.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sucks because I don't like that because I like roller coasters. So I told, we're in this fork in the road because now Andy wants to, like, force her to go on, like, the Great White at SeaWorld because we have passes to get her prepared for when she goes with her friends so she's not a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, I don't want to force... She's like, no.
That
she's
one's pretty...
Great White's pretty gnarly.
That's a real...
Yeah, it's a real roller coaster.
It's loops and everything.
Well, I mean, and going from Looney Tunes to one where it's like the...
Her legs are dangling.
Yeah. The leg things.
Exactly. And it's...
That's a little scary.
Super drops, and I think it's too much.
Yeah.
But what Andy wants to do is just, like, make her go once and then make her go again and make her get used to it to where all the other fucking Fiesta Texas ones are going to be nothing.
Okay.
That's her mentality,
I don't think it's hoping.
A good... Yeah. Because
well, isn't the Steel Eel one where it's just...
The Steel Eel is just drops. There's no loops or anything. Right. But the Steel Eel fucks me up.
Yeah.
Like, that one, I feel like I'm going to fall out.
Yeah, it's pretty steep.
Because it's cart ones.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the kind that, like, you're
strapped. You know you're in there. They're...
It's almost the mentality of, like, your friends smoke cigarettes. Here, smoke all of these cigarettes to prepare.
No, exactly. You know? And so...
So you won't be the one coughing.
To defend Andy, she has good intentions because...
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Not just because we were chicken shit as kids.
Yeah.
And so I was telling Mikey over dinner, I was just like, look, we just don't want you to be a fucking chicken shit. No, I'm just kidding. We just don't want you to be like us because we lost all these years of roller coasters and having fun because we were too scared.
Yeah.
Only to find out that we really liked them. And I go, now I get sick. Now I can't ride on them.
Yeah.
You know, so I only had this small window of roller coastering. Right. And so the reason why this is the question is just to see how it's affected people like in their lives. Like, this is genuinely helping me as a parent to tell us about your first roller coaster experience and if you liked them or not after that. So my first roller coaster experience was also the answer to supposed to be safe if you got hurt. It was the Rattler at Fiesta, Texas, when it was wooden, and holy shit. I was like, you know what? There's no loops. It just drops. It's big. you know, everyone does it. Yeah. I'm going to go for it.
Granted, it's like it was the world's tallest wooden roller coaster. Yeah. But even then, without the loops, without all that stuff, you would think it's...
I could handle it. Now, was it scary?
It was no. janky.
But, man, it rocked me so hardcore. Yes. Yeah. And it seriously gave me neck injury the rest of my life.
And
it
did, you weren't, and you wouldn't be the only one. For outsiders, for people not in Texas, not from Texas, from out of town, the Rattler had a good 2 years at least of just bona fide injuries, like people get hurt, where they actually did have to close it down and renovate it to smooth it out. And even then, it was still a little rough, but the first couple of years of it being open was pretty rough on everybody.
Flat out beat you up.
Yeah, it beat you up.
The further back you rode, was like getting... Imagine having a very giant, violent boyfriend who just shook the hell out of you. Yeah. That's what the Rattler was. And like, he didn't punch you.
Off a cliff.
He didn't punch you. No. But man, he grabbed you and he shook you because he was trying to kill you by shaking you. That was the Rattler. He was like, I'll hold this up in court because I won't ever say I hit you. I'm going to shake you till you die. I'm going to try to shake you till you die. That was a Rattler.
But and to that point, real quick, is I got in the back. Because everyone was like, the front's the craziest.
You think that's the scariest, and it is technically, but it's not the most violent.
Dangerous. What were you going to say, Brian?
Oh, like after he shakes you all up, though, he's like, but look, here's, you know, candy.
Here's a picture of me shaking you.
Don't you look so happy?
Look how much fun you're having.
We're in the gift shop now, honey.
It's just you wincing.
So... And I was hurt. So what ended up happening is then I went on the metal ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
And those were just silky smooth and fun.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you get the endorphins kicked in. You're like, fuck, this is amazing. And so I said, fuck wooden roller coasters forever. You know, and
I don't even think there are many.
There's some still.
The Colossus.
Was it the Gorgon?
Is that a real?
I still would.
The picture that you posted, I think, that's what that is. I think that's.
Is it Goliath?
Oh, Goliath. I'm sorry, my bad.
Yes. Gorgon is Medusa.
Yes. Yeah, she's dead now. Perseus killed her. Yes,
exactly. Deuce Gorgon is her son on Monster High. That's real. That is real.
Okay, all right.
Deuce Gorgon.
Deuce Gorgon, I like it. So, is he friends with
Christopher Krill? Oh, I'm putting that name in something.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's the evil CEO and something. No,
he was a wrestler with the Brood.
There you go. In WWE.
So
that's fucking amazing.
So I did end up loving metal roller coasters afterwards, but hating.
But loops didn't matter.
Hey, you know you went back to the Rattler.
No, I did.
Yeah, I did.
I went back and it wasn't as bad, but it still shook me and I was just like, fuck you, man.
Yeah. I think everyone probably had that, like, just like a boyfriend, like, okay, maybe he's gotten better. I've matured. It's been years. I've matured. I'm sure he's not that bad. And then you get on it again and you're like, oh, I'm bruised.
We went years ago after the renovation.
Oh, see, after the renovations, I think it probably was a lot smoother. Because
Now it's a steel Rattler.
Yeah, now it's the Iron Rattler.
Iron Rattler.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Reg?
For me, it was you know what? In Andy's defense, like I was one of those pansy kids who would always go in high school. Like I bought a season pass to Fiesta Texas, and we'd go during the summers with buddies. And I would be that dude, like, no, it's cool, you guys go ahead. I'm not going to ride the roller coaster because I'm afraid of heights. Like I am, I'm pretty afraid of heights. And so I was just like, I don't want to do it. And so I was that freaking lame kid, right? So all my high school years never rode them. So maybe a few years later, maybe in my, I want to say early 20s, I was like, all right, man, just do it. You know, and I was asking people around, and this was when the Superman Sky Coaster came out, and people were like, no, it's fun. And for me, as a big guy, I don't like the roller coasters where it's just a lap thing that folds onto your stomach.
Yeah.
And I saw that people on the Superman, it's one of the ones where your legs hang, but the thing comes over your shoulders and compresses down in you.
Yeah, that's how the Great White is, too.
And so I like
– it's very comforting.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very comforting, and I could grab onto it. So I was – you know, it took me 20-something years. I went on it, and it was great. It's still one of my favorite roller coasters. It's not the scariest, but it's fun. It was genuinely fun, and it got me into – trying all the other ones. He got me in trying all the other ones, and I did try the Rattler, and I was like, that sucked. And then a couple years, I forgot how many years later, I was like, ah, I can do it again. And I was like, no, that hurt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love roller coasters now. I absolutely love roller coasters. I think it's so much fun. And the way I get through it, because I am scared, especially like,
fun.
The Screaming Sky Coaster, which was just, the Scream, which just shoots you straight up. You know,
and
then you
hang those. I still,
no. It's terrifying, man. Right? But what I do in my mind is I pretend that I'm Bruce Willis in Die Hard 2. He's ejecting out of the plane. Yes. And that's what I tell myself.
Yeah.
And it makes it so much more fun.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So,
I'm going to have to go back now and try that.
Do that. Just tell yourself it's Bruce Willis. Those guys just threw the grenades into the freaking plane, and you got to freaking strap yourself down and pull it. And that, and I swear that first time, and I'm a big guy, and the thing goes over your shoulders and it click, 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 clicks. But it was the first time I went on, and I went with my girlfriend at the time. It was in between clicks to where there's way too much space. Because I'm a broad shouldered guy.
That's the other scary thing about roller coasters.
I have big shoulders. So, it clicked down, but it wouldn't get to that next click, and there was just way too much space. So I wrapped my hands around the thing and clenched them, and I swear, if there was a human being in that thing, I would have killed them. I could have killed them for how hard I was swinging. And sure enough, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then it shot
up.
That
was the first time.
Well, that was the first time I rode the Scream.
That's what I mean.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The first time I rode that, it had that gap in between it. I was like, that's hilarious. My God. Yeah, it sucked. But what
that's
always
bad for that too, because then there's that second where you like you go
yes
and you, like,
yes
fly up
I did bit. That yeah. and I, but man and I was crushing but it was fun.
I've done many different versions of that. Luckily,
like Tower
I did
Terrors.
Yeah, I did Tower Terrors in Disney World, and then I did the Spider-Man in and Universal Studios. And, those, and I really at the time liked those, and then I revisited it with my sister, who was like, Larry, I don't think I could do this, and she tried to help me overcome my fear of heights by taking me to the Tower of America's, and fuck that. It didn't do it. So then I was like, you know, I haven't ridden these in a while. Let's go. And she was fucking terrified, and I was fucking terrified, and while we were at the top, she's like, Larry, I don't like this. And I went, this is what you get for taking me to the Tower of America. And then we fell, and she's like, why did we do that? I went, I don't know. I used to like them and don't anymore.
I did. They don't have it at Fiesta Texas anymore, but
they
it was.
Don't?
No. This other thing, which was, I think it was called the Screaming Sky Coaster, whereas they would just pull you back on that wire and then drop you, and you would free fall for like 80 feet. I did that with two buddies.
Did you?
They strap you into it. And here's the most terrifying part of that whole ride is the 1 minute of you slowly being risen. The whole time I was like, this is stupid. You guys are stupid. This is a stupid idea. Exactly. And then it was terrifying. But then once you got dropped, it was fun. It was really fun. Yeah. But dear Lord, that was
anticipation. That's the scariest thing about all those rides.
Slowly just seeing everyone become ants is just so scary.
Have you seen the footage of DMX with his daughter on that slingshot?
No.
You know the video ones where the fat kids like slide out and you see like people faint and all that?
I heard about it. I don't think I actually ever saw
it. It is really heartwarming once you get past the fact that he allowed a toddler to get on this death-defying fucking ride. Because and she's afraid. It's ugly to watch because how afraid he is, but it's heartwarming to see like, yeah, baby girl, you're doing it, baby. Woo! We ain't scared. We're doing it. And he doesn't give a fuck, like, because he's just paying attention to her and holding her hand.
Right.
And so when he gets down, he's talking to her mom, which I think he kind of made mention of the fact that it wasn't his wife.
Yeah.
And it because when they got back down, he was like, you see that? You see that? Her mom ain't even do it. You're braver than your mom. You have more heart than your mom. Yeah, she have more heart than you. She have more heart than you. And he's just going off to his
It started off as heartwarming, and then you realize he like used her to kind of prove a point, some kind of very callous
move. I deserve
movement,
custody of her.
What about you, Jess?
You know what he told her before she got on the ride?
Like, you sure you want to do this? You sure you want to do this? Like, he was being
a
dad.
He said ride or die.
God damn it. There he goes. There it is.
Someone would...
I love that.
Thank you,
Brian. That's amazing.
She's like, you're going to make me ride this ride up in here?
For me, the roller coaster thing is a roller coaster
in essence, because it's a bunch of ups and downs. But like when I was a kid in San Antonio, one of the classic institutions of San Antonio.
Dude, that's a twofer in the
as a child for children. It was an institution. I don't know, not so much anymore. But there was Kitty Park, on Broadway. There's a small little amusement park, baby, tiny. Like it costs dollars to get in, cents to get in. And they had a little fun house. They have a little merry-go-round.
It's been around since 1940s or 50s.
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly. They have this very small roller coaster. Mm-hmm. It's a little kiddie coaster. And as a kid, around the relatives, the cousins, whatever, I was the brave one to get on the roller coaster. They were afraid to get on this little baby roller coaster. Now, the table turned when we went to one of those parking lot carnivals, yeah. The touring ones. Yeah. So they had this kind of decent roller coaster, and I was brave to get on it. I was with my stepsister, who was a couple years younger than me, and we were like, six, seven-ish or something like that.
Yeah.
And I absolutely pussed out on the ride.
Yeah.
I cried, and I got scared. Like, I absolute embarrassing, because it's like my stepsister's like, yeah. And I pussed out as a little kid. And I got, and classic around that time, there wasn't that whole, treat your kids blood. No, your parents and your relatives make fun of you because you pussed out on the ride. Exactly.
It should be a shameful moment.
So I went to visit my dad in California, and he lives in Anaheim. That's where Disneyland is. It's where Knott's Berry Farm is. So I did the Disneyland thing for the first time, and all the rides in Disneyland are more attraction than actual roller coasters. They're very fun. Some of them are fast, some of them have dips, but they're more of a spectacle than an actual roller coaster.
Like Space Mountain, right?
Like Space Mountain. Yeah, yeah. I had an absolute blast. Like, I loved all those rides. And, so that was great. So a couple days later, now we're going to go to Knott's Berry Farm. So Knott's Berry Farm is kind of a Six Flags. They have bigger roller coasters
where everybody gets toast and jam or something in my brain.
They have fried chicken, world famous fried chicken.
Oh, there you go.
World famous fried chicken, and then
they have biscuits?
Yeah, they have biscuits. And the mascots for Knott's Berry Farm is the Peanuts.
Mm.
So it's
Texas
like
already.
Charlie Brown, yeah. Snoopy.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was Peanuts.
Charlie Brown.
I was thinking a big nut too. Yeah, like a like
biscuits, chicken, peanuts.
So they got all the big rides, and I had just gotten off the high of going to Disneyland, going all the rides, just feeling
rides are fun.
Great fun. They had a pirate boat, but one of the extreme ones, the ones Knott's Berry Farm. They didn't do the loop.
Oh, it didn't do the loop.
But they did
the
full tilt.
That's a kamikaze, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then we come up to this ride. It was called the Montezuma's Revenge. I'll never fucking forget Montezuma's Revenge. And there's variations of the ride, but essentially
never a good thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's a diarrhea ride.
Essentially, it's a half pipe, essentially, but it's like a really high, it takes you really high up vertical.
Yeah.
And then it drops you full throttle. You go through a loop, and then you come back up, and then it does it again. It's the boomerang's a variation of it.
Right. Yeah.
And I was stoked to get on this ride. I was excited. But the closer we got to the ride, the more my heart sunk, and the more my palms got sweaty, and the more I just wanted to piss my pants. Like, literally, I wanted to piss my pants. And we got up, and I absolutely bitched out.
I was
that kid. I bitched out
right before
hardcore. Like, we're about to get in the ride, and I went, and I bitched out. I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And my dad was he's a jokester too, whatever. He's kind of like egging me on comic Pokemon, but he's like, all right, that's cool. I waited an hour in line for nothing. All right, cool.
Yeah.
That's
a whole nother.
It was a whole other level.
Right.
So I felt super fucking horrible because not only was I scared and ashamed and embarrassed, but I also felt bad because I did wasted my family's time, essentially. Wow. So redemption, going back to the whole roller coaster
thing. It's like going on a date. You have a great dinner.
Yeah.
You go watch a movie and you get the girl home and you're getting in bed and you're just like, yes, this is what all this time I've been waiting for. This is going to be so fun. And you're like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Except your dad's there to make
fun of that's the thing.
I was like, I don't think that's
what? No, but I get it. But like, I was like, I wanted to redeem myself, but nothing ever redeemed the day. I was like, let's go back in the pirate. He's like, you're done.
Man.
We went on other little rides, but like, he's subconsciously it's a duality. One, he's like, God damn it. Like, I can't get on the big rides, but he's also being a dad.
Yeah.
And he's also, well, I don't want to put him through that trauma again. So let's stick with the level one tier ride. So after that, it was all the pussy rides, basically. But still, I had a good time. On to your note, we left on a good note. Like, I left Knott's Berry Farm happy. And
well, they had fried chicken.
And I had fried chicken, and I got like a little Woodstock, stuffed Woodstock that I won in a little carnival game or whatever.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So I think a year later, I went back, like, with my grandparents and other cousins, kind of different relatives. But I was like, just.
With your dad?
No, not with my dad.
Okay, okay.
I had to redeem myself, like so Knott's Farm was like, I have to do the Monzimer's Revenge, I have to do whatever. So before Monzimer's Revenge, I wanted to go one step up and do the Boomerang. The Boomerang is the same principle, but there's like three loops.
Yeah.
And it's steeper and it's fucking extreme. And I waited in line three times.
Wow.
Before getting halfway through, like the point where you can get off before you're inside the actual chained ride. My cousins that I was with, they bitched out. So I didn't feel so bad because we all bitched out together. Like, oh, we got to go. Let's go to the bathroom. And so, like, I did that three times. I got in line, had to piss, like literal piss. Then they bitched out. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get on this thing. And God damn it. Like, that was it. Wow. After that Boomerang ride, I went on every single ride.
Yeah.
Like, in the map, it has a tier system. Like,
right.
The extreme levels. Yeah. I went to every single one after that. I was like, I'm going to do this one. I'm going to do Monzimer's Revenge. I'm going to do Boomerang. I'm going to do the fucking boat that goes upside down. Yeah. I did all of them. And so ever since then, every roller coaster, I will do anyone.
Cool.
Yeah.
Full-fledged.
You're my coaster partner for a while here in town because no one would go. And I remember one of my favorite birthdays. It was me, Andy, Jess, and Joelle randomly. Just came and we turned into 14-year-olds. We were like 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
And we were fucking 11-year-olds for a day just at Fiesta.
Yeah, I'm that guy that gets in the ride. That's no problem. Whatever. No, Brian. And like, I'm just really calm about it. And like, like Regan's mentality. I'm the same mentality. It's the ride. Is a life or death situation, and I'm put in that situation. It's like,
Jess yells, I got this.
Yeah.
At every roller coaster.
I like to yell, we all gonna die.
Yeah. I do that
right
too.
Right before we're about to.
And what I like to do, my favorite thing to do.
Like Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah.
From Lil Nicky?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Like we are all gonna die.
I went on the Aerosmith roller coaster, and like what it does, because it does the 0 to 90 in two seconds, but when it does it, the noise that it makes when it shoots, it goes. So now every time a roller coaster does its big beginning, I go. That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, now I like to go limp and fall asleep. So that was the one time
I like to do that too.
The one time I should have ponied up, bought the picture, was on the Superman, because the Superman, you're self suspended.
Yeah.
If you go, this is the thing you do. You go on the Superman, go full limp. And just let your body hang. It is the funniest fucking picture. Because you'll see people gripping on there. And there's some dude in your body. It's just fucking jello. And you're letting gravity do your thing. It is the fucking best. And you're like that sleepy, tired face. That's my mission next time. I'll buy that picture. Because
you heard it first, podcast listeners. Jess Castro says you want to go in deep. Go limp.
Go limp. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
That's what's your secret, Jess? I go limp.
Jake Layla.
I like the idea of kind of training your kid in the worst situations that like when she goes to the party, it won't be so scary. Because I grew up going to a lot of those kind of parking lot carnival things in Austin, and I thought I was hot shit.
Austin.
Yeah, right. But yeah. And so I remember when like we got to do some school trip, like I think when I was in high school, and we got to come down to Six Flags, and the first ride I went to was the Poltergeist. Is that one that goes like 0 to 60?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready. I got in that. No. I thought I was like, oh, I've gone to a bunch of roller coasters, like little parking lot ones, not even anything. I'm like, I got this. And then it started. And I was like, I want off. And the whole ride was just total. It was so intense.
Yeah.
And so it was.
Yeah, that one's gnarly. It goes like 0 to 60 right into
The corkscrew. And I don't know why. Like I didn't see. Like I was just like, oh, it looks like it's going fast for everybody. And then I was just like, I didn't know it was going to be that hard. So the rest of the day, I remember that particular time, I just pushed out on everything else. I was like, no, that was it for me.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to get back to going on bigger coasters, and I eventually did get back, and I love coasters now. They're so much fun, but it's really good to kind
of... How old are you when you did the Poltergeist?
I think I was like... I know I was in high school, so it was kind
14,
of...
14,
15? Like, yeah, something like 15, I think.
I'm always jealous of like when I get on roller coasters and you see like a 10-year-old that's just into it.
Yeah.
And I'm it's so cool. How do you do that? Cool.
Yeah.
That was me.
That was you.
That was you? Yeah.
Are you sure you weren't scared because of all the spooky pictures of?
Oh yeah, that's what got me.
I was just about to say
yeah.
The Poltergeist is a ride that it looks like they were like gonna make a really cool yeah. wait in line.
Well, wasn't it the Joker's
thing,
Revenge
and
first?
And they went like, nah, fuck it.
Yeah. Wasn't it?
It wasn't. No, the Joker's Revenge
was converted to the Tony Hawk ride.
The Tony Hawk.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Poltergeist was Poltergeist, but it's like yeah. it's a house, and then it's kind just of, like. Yeah. Yeah, fuck
oh man, yeah. That poor Tony Hawk ride sucked the cowwebs of Fiesta Texas because no one rides that shit.
It's like, not, it's not bad, but no one like that line for that one was the shortest line
for the Tony Hawk.
Yeah, when we went last time, it was just
location.
So dead.
No, we. Yeah. Oh, like, it's away from all the other coasters. Like, even when it was Joker's Revenge, it didn't get much
Tony Hawk.
It was, I felt sad. Like, let's get on it because no one else is on it. Give the attendant, like, because you felt bad for the attendant because he's just standing there, like, no one.
And he gave him a pity ride.
Yeah,
yeah,
give him a pity ride. I'll ride the Tony Hawk.
Just scream a little bit for him.
Like, oh, okay,
so, what's
cool.
the new one they have now? Is it Batman?
Well, the
new
the,
Batman.
Because
it used to be Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, the four dimensional ride or whatever. Yeah.
It spins you and then it spins you.
But that's what Tony Hawk was. You're doing fucking ollies and Christairs.
Yeah, but
and
this
shit
one's more extreme.
I want to
ride with me.
I want to see a gator ride where you're like, oh, you kill your wife, Brian.
I'm not sure which one came first, if it was roller coasters or other rides, but yeah, I used to always go to the Helotes Carnival, which is a carnival in Helotes,
and Helotes means.
Corn.
Mm, a lot.
So, corny joke from the town.
It's
grew
not
up
a
in.
Joke. It's the real. It's a real thing.
Elotes Carnival.
And so you know they didn't have any like legit coasters. Like they had one kind of like the little shoe, but I don't think I ever messed with that. I was all about like the zipper and things that like flipped you upside down and the Gravitron.
As a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like
even the Gravitron.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one where they spin you and
Gravitron's.
You kinda, like,
yeah, as long as I was tall enough to be able to ride it, I would ride it. And if not, like I remember, like counting, like you know, when I would be able to ride this ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah,
same
yeah.
with Fiesta Texas. And the first one, I think the first legit one was the wooden
Rattler.
The wooden Rattler, yeah. Oh. Which I did not particularly enjoy, but but you know, it hurt afterwards. But I was just oh man, I can't wait to do that again.
Max.
I think maybe. But
you didn't know you had a choice.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're that girlfriend, and you're like, I don't know if I can get out of this.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you, Larry. Did you ever ride the Hulk coaster
at Universal
at Islands of Adventure?
Yeah,
Universal?
I have. Yeah. That's the only man. Picture that I bought. That one fucking ruled.
That was cool. That part where like goes under the water.
Yes, dude.
Like,
it was
what?
Great. Like it that line. What took forever, and
I think it was like 2 hours.
Yeah,
when
but
I was
yeah, honestly,
it was
it
pretty
was
worth it.
Well, I'm a Hulk.
Yeah,
fan.
Of course,
that's my favorite superhero.
Is it?
So I was like, yeah. So I was like, I gotta wait on it. And I was with Andy and my sister and my brother-in-law, and we waited. And afterwards, I was like, that's the best fucking roller coaster I've ever been on.
Yeah,
like, yeah. That one,
I had
that
same
was
feeling
shit.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like the weight,
maybe,
or if it was just
maybe.
The underwater.
It's a
thing,
it's a little longer too than what I'm used to with
longer
most roller coasters.
Time,
yeah, I liked it.
I'm more afraid now that. I'm not gonna be fit enough to get on the ride and having the uncomfortable situation of you can't get in this ride and then walking off. I'm more afraid of that than the ride itself.
I had a joke about that did last night.
Oh, okay. Have y'all, not y'all guys.
You're
not as big as you think, dude.
No, 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 but it's happened. I realized that there are technically special seats that have two buckles
extenders.
On them.
Yeah.
And it makes it slightly, gives you a couple more inches on it. And I would have to like point those out when I was at my biggest. And there was one time in my life where I was too big for the
ride. And they told you to get off?
It wouldn't click.
But broad shoulders.
It's really, and it's funny because I never realized till after that if you look and it says if your shoulders are X amount, and I wear a size 48-50 as far as for my jacket.
Viewers,
it was like 52 inches was the biggest, and I was like at my biggest, I'm sure. I was thicker. I'm top heavy.
Mm. Was that like embarrassing or were you just...
quite embarrassing?
Yeah,
yeah, it's tough.
I imagine that, like dude. Oh
yeah,
but I don't think that's as embarrassing
like
as bitching out and crying. Yeah. I feel horrible,
but I always sympathize if I see that. I 100%
like have total.
It wasn't. Like, it wasn't. It was. It was the. It was like a twirly one.
Well, what age? I mean, when was this?
This was like I was like 26. Oh, okay. Probably. This was. I was the big circle, like a frisbee. Maybe it's called the frisbee.
Oh,
right on.
It wasn't really a roller coaster.
Where it like, goes up and down, and it spins.
Yeah, and it spins. Yeah. That
yeah, I
one
think it was spin the rides. I can't do spin rides.
I liked it.
It's the clicker thing that came down. It just wouldn't.
You can't do the teacups to the kids.
Well, I'm like you now too, where like some rides now.
I'm the jerk that spins it as fast as humanly possible. I use all of my strength.
It's my vertigo, dude. Like, it's the worst, man.
I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'm like you too, where like even some roller coasters now, like, and spinning rides, like, sometimes, like, I'll do one and I'll just have a headache and I'm just like, I don't want to do another one.
That's all it is. It sucks. Yeah. I used to take Anivert before getting on roller coasters and I'd ride it out for a long time, but now that I don't
think it doesn't even work. Take some vertigo pills, dude.
Anivert, yeah, that's what Anivert is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Anti-Vertigo.
Anti-Vertigo. Oh. That's great.
All right. Facebook answers. Judson Cooper says, Top Gun at Carowinds. I was scared crapless at first, but after the third time, I couldn't get enough.
There you go.
Sweet.
Corey Dorsey says, The Flashback at Six Flags Over Texas in Arlington. My stomach and heart have yet to switch places back.
Flashback?
I'm trying to think with the flashback. I don't know if I've ever done that.
I went there like once.
Flashback. Samantha Lines Rick says, first and never again. It was the Magnum XL.
Yeah.
We
tore you up.
Never again.
Yeah, once you go Dave. Magnum.
Is that Cedar Point, Ohio?
Sorry, Sam. Come on.
We had to go there. Cedar Point, Ohio combined all my three worst phobias, heights, water, and not being in control of how fast I'm hurtling towards oblivion.
Oh man.
Travis K says, I must preface this by saying that I was terrified of roller coasters as a kid. My favorite ride at Fiesta Texas was the swings. Oh yeah, the swings. Yeah.
Fuck the swings.
Those were pretty cool.
That's what I did when I was younger and I was afraid. Yeah, I would do the swings.
Videos of them breaking?
Yeah.
No. Thank God, dude. No. Oh, as a fat kid, are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm glad YouTube wasn't around.
I don't trust those at all.
Yeah.
Well, I heard they made like bigger, like a super swing one. Yeah. And then I heard they like took it down.
It's Fiesta Texas.
Is that because of...
I took a picture and it's insane. It was one of my first Instagram posts ever. It's like it blocked out the sun and it was just people. were the rays of the sun. And I went, why the fuck would you do that? Like, imagine going on the Scream.
Yeah.
And then going, woo!
I love the people who like fight it. Like they spin around in the chair as well as going. And they're just like, I hate my life.
Exactly, dude.
I miss the old Rattler.
Yeah. They're like Ben Stiller in Permanent Midnight just running up to the window of a skyscraper. Just fuck that, dude. Cool, you got that reference, y'all?
No, a nice rap.
I actually have that soundtrack in my car. Should you not?
Yeah.
Alf, dude.
Yeah.
Travis K says, my favorite ride at Fiesta Texas was the swings, that we were on a giant tilt-a-whirl thing. My dad knew this, and so he made me ride the Rattler before I could ride the swings.
So he made him.
I was so terrified that I sweated out different my time. Sunscreen, but it was worth it because I was hooked afterwards. F those swings.
F those swings.
You still have the swings.
Andrew Thomas says, the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster. In what used to be MGM Studios, Disney World, Florida, while going from 0 to 55 while rocking out the sultry tones of Steven Tyler.
Off that, go to the arcade, play some Revolution X.
Yeah. Shoot CDs at people.
Up of a brain scan.
Oh, fuck.
I think you can't take it's too much Aerosmith to fucking handle. And on the flight home from whatever fucking park you're at, they have like Armageddon on the plane.
He says, I fell in love with both roller coasters and bad classic rock.
Yeah.
I don't really care for Aerosmith anymore, though.
Yeah, living on the edge.
Yeah, you could have yourself a ball, man.
Alfred Perez says, I was in my Dodge Neon one Christmas day, and I was clipped from behind, sending my car climbing up the barrier between the north-going traffic. My car went sideways in the air, but righted itself as I hit the ground, and then I spun the hill, taking out a traffic sign. The guy who hit me was an injured hero fireman who just didn't want me to merge into his lane. No one would take my case. I miss my neon.
So I've
ride that one.
Yeah, that's the ultimate ride. It's the ultimate rush.
I guess. Gabriel Diaz says, my last girlfriend. Am I right or what?
Yeah, I've ridden that one. It's not a big deal.
Hello!
Zing! Zing! You have to be this tall to fuck this ride!
Go limp! Go limp! Go limp or go home.
Yeah.
I didn't measure up for that one.
Limp Bizkit.
Buy that picture afterwards.
You wanted the worst. You got the worst. All right, sorry. So I don't...
I was into that.
Me too. I don't know what to tell Mikey. So thanks for nothing, y'all.
Yeah, all right.
Parenting, dude. Fuck it.
We'll one see. Step at a time. You got it. Yeah.
She doesn't want to do it.
I'm halfway in between Andy's method and your method, but it's ultimately her choice.
That's where I'm at. Yeah. If she doesn't want to do it, she doesn't have to do it.
She's going to come around when she comes around, if she comes around.
Yeah. But what's funny is that, like, is she going to Six Flags with her friends after all?
Yeah.
See, that might be that peer pressure, man. That might be the thing that tip it to the
edge.
I'll
tell you what. The reason why I'm apprehensive is what if they all go and leave her by herself and she doesn't want to go?
Right.
That's what I'm worried about.
Or she's alone
by herself. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of like,
That. I'd like to hear an update on that story.
I've sat outside by the entrance while other people.
Oh, that's the saddest city. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know. It was without cell phones, but nowadays I'm sure you'd be fine.
But she's 10 years old. Yeah.
Does she have an iPhone?
Not 14. Yes, she does.
Well, she'll be fine.
Nah, I don't know.
She can tweet.
It's boring without a phone. Yeah. You know, when we were young, but
nah, all right. Yeah. She's not going. Thanks, guys.
So roller coasters?
Yeah, fuck it.
All right, so now it's time for Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about things that aren't very funny. And today's not funny topic comes from an article written in the International Journal of Trade and Global Markets, where they're doing research on the concept of olfactory branding, so smell branding, essentially. And some hotel lobbies have started to supplant different scents in their lobby so that when you walk into a brand X hotel, you get the smell. This smells like a, you know, very high end hotel. So that everywhere you go, when you travel, whether you're in New York or London, when you go to our hotels, you'll know it by the smell. And so they've saying, and this is a cool thing because they're saying that researchers have claimed that people remember 35% of what they smell compared to only 5% of what they see, 2% of what they hear, and 1% of what they touch. Now, if you think about things, I think this is, it's called sensory recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's great because there's certain scents that bring you back to that moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so I think this is kind of a cool thing. So these are people that are talking about actual olfactory branding, smell branding, where you know, like, even if you go, you guys all know what a Subway smells like, right?
Yeah.
Like the Subway sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, there's that, yep. It smells like Subway in here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's those things to where you can be like, things have the way they smell. And so I think it's a very interesting thing that people are starting to do that just because research says you're way more likely, you know, 35% to remember that smell. And so that brings to my topic. We
and then associate that with a brand.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially if you're a high end thing to where you're like, oh my God, I love these hotels are great. I just love the way, whether, you know, whatever it is, it smells that way. So that brought my question, which was, if you owned a hotel, what specific scent would your hotel room smell like? So what would your customers smell when they walked into the room or when they walked into the lobby, and how would you want them to remember? So mine is kind of dumb and kind of weird, but, and it actually is related to a hotel because it would smell like the cologne that I wear, which is Paris Hilton for men.
Yeah.
So there is actually a hotel.
Right at the door if you want to see.
It's right at the door.
Oh, okay.
I spray myself every time when I walk out. Now, as a very, as someone who is.
You stink.
No. As someone who's punk rock. As someone who is punk rock as all hell. I know I don't look it, but that's exactly why.
It's true.
Nothing, you know, you want to go anti-establishment. You want to do what other people don't do. And so for years I used to wear Bath and Body Works Mountain Spray. It was one of the few things.
I use Ocean, bro.
It was one of the few things that, I like this manly spray and they discontinued it. And I was like, crap, what am I going to wear now? So I went to Perfume Mania.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have ever gone to a Perfume Mania.
I have, man.
But it's a place where they sell perfume. And I walked up to this dude and it's very, very helpful, very, I don't know, super gay guy, which I was like, I trust you. I don't know why I trusted a gay man.
Because he knows what he wants his men to smell like.
Yeah, maybe that's why. And for real. And he was very good. Absolute wonderful customer service. Asked me what I was looking for. I told him. He gave me four different things. You know, he was like, I'm just going to spray these four things. You tell me which one you like. He sprayed them. And I was like,
Without knowing
what they were. And I picked this one. And I was like, this one is, I love this one. It's great. He's like, oh, yeah, it's great. It's got these cucumber hints and blah, blah, blah. And they've tested it with pheromones and blah, blah, blah. To where I'm like, great. What is it? He was like, Paris Hilton for men. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Wow.
I am not about to wear Paris Hilton cologne. And I was like, man, but it smells so good. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to buy it and spray it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see what it's like. Dude, it was across the board. Guys, girls, everyone liked it. They enjoyed it. It's not a strong scent. And so I was like, dude, this is awesome. Yeah. And then people would ask me and I'm like, it's Paris Hilton. Like, what? It's Paris Hilton for men. Now I own up to it because I've worn it for years. I love it. I'm glad they haven't discontinued it, you know? Like, she's not popular anymore.
Yeah.
But
the cologne is.
Apparently, it's still running. So, I like that smell. I've realized a lot of people enjoy that smell. And I think that's what I think I would want my customers to walk in on and smell. Because I don't think it's too manly of a smell. It's not too feminine. Mm. Guys like it. Girls like it. It's very fresh. It's very clean.
They have that at
Paris Hilton? Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
Unless she owned the hotel.
That's the thing, is that no one would openly like, oh, I'm going to buy this Paris Hilton smell. That's why it's new.
Yeah.
Because they're not familiar with the smell because it's not a popular choice. So yeah, it is very punk rock. But I get it.
So Paris Hilton for men.
I have experienced that because one of the things that stood out for me, I've only been to Vegas once. Yeah. And I took Andy to the Mirage. I wasn't staying at the Mirage, but I took her to the Mirage because of the Beatles show.
Yeah.
Or the Love Cirque du Soleil.
Right.
And then the big Beatles thing on the side of the hotel.
I've heard it's great.
Huh? Yo, it's amazing. It's an amazing show. Even if you don't like the Beatles, it's amazing.
So what if you hate the Beatles?
Who hates the Beatles?
Yeah.
Punk rock.
Okay.
You would still love the show.
Okay, no, I totally get it.
That's what I've heard.
It's like musicals and stuff. Where I'm
I don't
like,
care for musical. Them.
I'm like, oh, this is beautiful.
But, no, I like the Beatles a lot. Andy loves them. So she was crying. And I like the Beatles and I get all the...
I don't care for them. I like their tunes when they're on, but I don't, you know...
I know some, because my wife's a big Beatles fan, I know all the kind of like, you know, John's mother's died in a car accident and all this stuff. So you see these things happen, you're like, oh, fuck, right? You have to know, you have to be a fan to get it.
Yeah.
And if you're not a fan, it's just, you know, like, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that Volkswagen blew up. It was made out of people. But the Mirage smelled amazing. And it was like a cologne, a clean fucking – it just everywhere. And the waterfall just fucking like exuded this scent that I still, to your point and to that article – that's exactly what they're doing because that's all now. Because it makes me want to stay at the Mirage because I'm like, just the way it smelled relaxed me. Like, you know, the poppies, you know, like it's a, it felt good. So if I was to open a hotel because the other end of the spectrum was Circus, which smelled like mildew and menudo. I did not want to be in there longer than I wanted. I went there because I had a Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing for Halloween that I missed. I was a week early, so I didn't get to see anything.
Circus is almost like it for, Vegas Vacation, the movie.
Yeah,
that's like that shitty hotel they go to where that buffet is with the runny
mac
and cheese. It's like that.
No, they straight up had menudo. And Takis and shit.
The actual.
Did you throw up in your mouth?
Yeah, a little bit. It was gross, man.
The research showed that it says that 41% of guests agree that scent is a key factor in the enjoyment of a hotel stay. So, I mean, it's if you're going to be sleeping there, like
sensory
it's
wise,
it's a huge deal. You don't want a stinky place. Like
sensory wise, the Mirage it hits all your senses. Like cool. I can't talk it up enough. Just for a cool
experience, not even a cool Vegas experience, just a cool experience. It's lit well. It smells well. It's at the right temperature. It was.
They've
cool.
done the research to exactly. make sure no, you're going to love it and stay there.
Dude, it felt no, it's very psychological.
Yeah, no.
They saw it happen.
They've
yeah.
done the research.
I'm sure there's a smell guy who just gets
oh, yeah.
money. Just no, for research.
We made 13
smell.
Phone calls, and it all came down to Christopher Krill. Christopher Krill's the best smell guy out there. Christian Krill. Yeah,
Christian
and then
Krill.
You're, and then it's the movie where like you're an up and coming smell guy and you're like, damn it, that Christian Krill.
And then he's the so famous the that there's a rapper called Christian Trill. And so like,
Trill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get it, Dean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's the Trillist.
He's the Trillist. I wouldn't want too high level, you know, I would want like kind of upper, or lower middle class, upper middle class people mm-hmm, to be able mm-hmm. to go. So one of my favorite smells is when you, leave like, an establishment and you're like, oh, who's cooking fajitas? And it's like you're outside of a Chewy's or a Taco Cabana or something. You're like, fuck yeah. Yeah. Even when you're not hungry, you're like, where is that? Right? That mixed with like, coconut.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
So yeah, it's a beach barbecue where someone's
yeah.
cooking fajitas.
Yeah, yeah. Where you're like, I want to chill. Here it smells yeah. delicious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I just want to be up and hang out and eat. And,
so
you
like
know,
a Hawaiian grill is what.
Yeah, yeah.
With.
Like,
or, you know, pina
yeah.
colada. That's all.
Tropical grill, like yeah. jerk chicken, like just like someone's grilling in Hawaii. Yeah,
there you go.
That's nice.
Right,
yeah, I like that.
Pleasant.
Yeah. 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 It is very pleasant.
I was almost gonna say like a barbecue or like a what do you call it? Like a campfire.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
But That's not what I'm gonna do.
Well, what is it? What is your answer
yeah,
then, Brian?
Yeah, no. Brian, yeah.
You first.
No.
Well, I couldn't narrow anything down. But like there is this cologne that I have. It was called Adidas Moves. And I had it.
Yeah, yeah. I almost got that too because of the whole Limp Bizkit thing.
Well, and I had it in middle school and like sometimes I'll smell things that kind of smell similar to it.
Okay.
And I'll just like, I'll immediately think of like the bottle and the shape of like the cologne. And like, I'll just like remember like preparing.
Three strikes,
dude. Oh yeah. I remember preparing like before middle school and like putting gel in my hair and shit. And like,
oh, man.
And like, I'll just have like an instant like flood of like memories from that. And then it's funny because, I was visiting my parents, semi-recently and, my brother-in-law, I opened up the cabinet in the bathroom and he had fucking Adidas Moves in there.
Nice.
Oh, man.
And I was like, no fucking way. And in the bathroom, like it's right where like cause I used to live there, you know, and so it's like right where I used to keep it. And I was just like, this is amazing. And so I took it out and I sprayed it and I was just like, yes. Fuck yes.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah.
No.
Mine was Calvin Klein's Escape, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I still have a bottle from high school that still has cologne.
I was all about, Bath and Body Works, whatever. It was the
Body Shop,
Ocean,
dude.
The Ocean one, and then there was a green one. And of course, how did you come across? Because you walk in the mall and there's some cute, pretty girl. Yep. Would you like to try a sample? Yes.
Damn
any reason for you to touch me? Yes, I will buy whatever you were selling. And then, I got hooked. I would go
They're
in there.
All con
and,
artists.
Yeah, they are super con artists. That's why you have this very like suspicious people at Bath and Body Works. And you go, oh, you got the ocean thing coming in.
You know what? I would totally date a guy who.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
Yes, make your pussy wet.
That's not where I was going, but all right.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jess.
That was not my tactic, but all right.
You know what? That's fine, man. You go ahead and tell that girl that, man.
So Adidas moves?
No.
At a campfire.
No. I think he like threw the bottle in there and it exploded in the fire.
They can make it happen.
No, I don't know. Like I like the smell of, you know, like a good like fire, but then I hate smelling it on me like the next fucking because it takes so long to get that smell out of there.
But there's something comforting about that, man.
I want to say pine cones for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah, that's nice.
I don't know if
the like
scent
it.
Is that really recognizable.
Yeah.
I think, no, but pine salt's pine salt. Pine cones has that earthy, like, you smell the dirt. You smell the dirt.
I like the campfire. It's funny. That sounds I like very that. Comforting that's and calming.
Cool. Mild, okay, mild campfire with yeah. a with a well, hint of pine.
Coming. Dude, I'm yeah. telling you, their scientists can make the F out of it. Like, they can
hey,
do it.
Scientists, make that yeah. shit. Yeah. I'll buy it for my hotel.
Yeah, fictitious, exactly.
Hypothetical.
Jess.
Oh, for me, going on the kind of wavelength Larry's going on, I would think something that would inspire hunger. So for me, it would be baked goods, but it would be different types during the day. So the morning,
oh, wow.
you would have the sweet kind of like okay. sweet goods, like baked goods, like yeah. cupcakes oh, or cookies dude. Or pastries.
Freaking Mexican very, bakery.
Yeah. yeah.
Just Holy that fresh, Lord.
That very fresh, sweet smell. But again, like the whole, all of these wouldn't be too overpowering. Just a nice,
yeah.
enough to kind of like, ooh.
A nice gotcha. Subliminal.
Yeah. Yes, oh, yeah. yeah. And so lunchtime would be like sandwich breads, loaf breads, baked breads, or whatever. And then
You're
dinner time.
Me hungry right
now. No, but in dinner time, it would be the whole butter roll, like Thanksgiving right. roll yeah. butter. That's and genius. That would be the cycle. Genius. That would be the cycle all day long. And yeah. so be sure to have
yeah.
items that would, you, okay, you have room service, you
those
sell
smells.
Those, compliment yeah. those smells. Right. That would be the thing to
There's
get,
a hotel called,
know.
It's called the Magnolia, one of the greatest hotels of, it's, wow. It was in Houston That's and they genius. Had a, they yeah, had a milk you. And cookie happy hour.
Oh, I really?
Love that. Yeah.
And it was 7 p.m. Awesome. And it was great and they'd bake fresh cookies and have milk and parents would come, people, and it was just, it was so comforting yeah. and nice that yeah. you would walk into that very nice lounge and smell those freshly baked cookies and get
it, yeah.
milk. And I was like, this is the coolest hotel ever.
Yeah.
It's such a nice hotel.
No, yeah. it's just, it's so interesting because I remember that actually that popped into my head that that's an old sales tactic for like. Tactic for like open houses that they would spray.
Oh, yeah.
They'd
yeah.
make cookies.
Yeah,
and, yeah. And
exactly. Or actually, like now it'd be the smell of cookies, but before they would bake cookies.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
exactly.
Now, it, now it's cookies in a can or type.
Yeah, yeah. and they're like, oh, where are the cookies? Oh, fuck. Yeah, yeah. All right, what's the fucking yeah, mortgage yeah. or?
So you're gonna
escrow?
Have people like pumping in like different scents all day, like switching out the scents.
Yeah, yeah. The sensors. It, like, it's a timely thing. Like this time of you know, like maybe at night, it's something that they the smell is there. But it's super, super light. So not people are in the middle of the morning, like, their stomach's growling and shit. But, like, right when, like, the dawn, like, around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Then you hit them with bacon.
Start piping in those pastry smells. And that lunchtime, if they're.
That's, to me, that's what heaven smells
like.
Yeah,
it would be. And then at lunchtime, oh, I smell that French bread. I smell a sandwich on my way. And that dinner time thing, you're just coming in from whatever, and they smell those dinner rolls. And
I'm telling you, right before, like, lights out, like, dark cookies.
Yeah, yeah, cookies. Sure, yeah, absolutely. Cookies. Baked goods in general, yeah.
Jake?
Oh, gosh, what does regret smell like? you see, no, like, when you talk about it, you have to talk about what hotel chain you would own. And I feel like, for me, living in San Antonio, I'd have to own a La Quinta. Like, that's, yeah. And so you walk in, what's the first thing you smell? A little bit of Fabuloso. Somebody's been cooking it on the stove. And
nice.
That's just to mask the, you know, the coffee and the.
And the
menudo and the sex, but that was when you walked in.
The depravity,
in.
The hangovers.
I don't
want to
stay at your hotel.
I know, I don't either. Like, I just want to pick up the check. So I think that's the smell I'm definitely trying to encapture right there. Just some, you know, covering up a lot of things.
Man. Well, pretty much get them in, get them out. So as a hotel owner, it's
like
very like,
yeah.
I don't want you to stick it.
I don't. Yeah, I don't want you to stay.
I wonder if the Fox Motel uses those tactics. The Fox Motel.
I don't think
Broadway.
They make a dead say, guy air freshener.
Yeah. Or a.
This sounds like a Seven plot. Like where you walk in and there's a hair
after sex. The air freshener
post hooker.
It's just
sex.
Like it's very crass. 70s like woman with her legs spread open, but it's like the tree thing you hang, but it's like the silhouette of a buxom woman with her legs spread, and it's like called after sex air freshener and just
sex on the
like,
beach.
It's like Todd
really.
Glass says, he's like, you know, I like to be passive aggressive when I'm complaining about something, and I go up to like the owner of a store and I'll be like, hey, can you tell me what where I can find the cat piss air freshener that you guys use?
No, I really like it, but I really like it. Like, I like the smell of cat piss. So,
how do you get it to be everywhere?
Yeah. Undergut.
I didn't want to influence
undergut.
Your
undergut. Under-titty.
I don't want to influence your answers, but the survey that they did in the research said the top 10 happy smells are as follows. Freshly baked bread.
Mm-hmm.
Clean bed sheets.
Yeah.
Freshly mown grass.
Nope. That's I like mown. That.
I like that. Fresh flowers.
Mowned grass.
Freshly ground coffee.
Yes.
Fresh air after rainfall.
That's
a classic. Mirage, dude.
That's a good one. Vanilla. Then chocolate.
Yeah.
Here's interesting. Fish and chips.
What the fuck?
No.
So, what? Like fried food.
No, I get it. No,
and bacon frying.
Okay, that makes
sense. Bacon frying.
Yeah.
Fajitas.
Yeah, that food. So. But let's see. Facebook answers. What would you want your hotel room to smell like? Corey Dorsey says, Dwayne's Johnson. Get it? Because he posted a picture of The Rock.
Yeah. Well, just with it because, you know, that's what the smell he makes when he smells bomb-ass tacos, as the meme would say.
Or Dwayne's.
Or Johnson. Dwayne's Johnson.
Yeah.
Berto Garcia says, fresh-cut grass. Wow. Brandy Dunnigan, nice. Vanilla bean all day, son.
Mm.
See, those are top two.
Yeah, sandalwood.
Hector Hortquist says, wouldn't you rather hear about the worst thing I've smelled in a hotel room? No. Justin Wilcoxon says, well, poisonous gas, old boy.
That guy's that brick top. You guys did it, a brick top boy.
Justin Cooper says, vanilla for sure. Maybe sandalwood in the bathroom or any starchy breakfast food like waffles or croissants.
Yeah.
Three out of four times my answer is food, but I'm fat, so who's surprised? Andrew Deal says, lavender and coitus.
Gross. There it is, yeah.
That, you know,
that's what the Fox Motel
puts people
Fabuloso
to sleep.
Fabuloso and coitus.
Yeah. which is lavender.
I smell ammonia and ass. Yeah.
Samson Portillo says, shame and regret or lavender.
There you go.
Yeah, smash papas.
Travis K says, a clean citrus smell mixed with honey and a hint of nut fog.
Mixed with money.
What? Oh, with money.
Oh.
And a hint of nut fog. I want people to feel clean, affluent, and like they have a chance with the opposite sex while staying
a little nut fog. A little under titty there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nut
Pat
fog Nozog, and under titty.
Nut fog and swamp ass.
Yeah. Is nut fog like dick cheese? Like,
no, nut fog is when you wear like, sweats
it's
all
when,
day.
When a girl's getting moist.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I've never heard of this.
It's immediately repulsed like a fifth of our listener base.
Yeah, that's why I said it for a reason.
It's like the word snout. Nothing ever good. It's a gross sounding word.
Snout?
Waft up that dank.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Is your snout running, girl?
Yeah.
Snout moist.
Let me finger blast that dank, girl.
Yeah. Are you Beethovening?
Travis K says, but for real though, petrichor, the smell of rain. I guess that's the technical. Because it's calming.
Is your Turner hoochin'?
Yeah. Monique Martin says, I'm obsessed with a combo of eucalyptus and spearmint. Invigorating and relaxing.
That's called stress relief.
It is.
Oh, really?
She says it's invigorating and relaxing.
I'll chew that gum.
Yeah. Santos Huante says, coffee and vanilla. Okay. Those are two of the top 10 ones.
Well, I'm sorry. What did that mean, Jess?
Well, the eucalyptus and whatever. I just, that sounds like a gum flavor.
Talking about
yeah. Not like I'm not going to chew that gum, girl. Yeah, I'm going to throw that in there. Yeah, I'd chew that gum.
Spearmint's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's juicy-filled gum.
Yeah, just giving him strips.
Juicy fruit. Going to
move you. Fruit straps gum.
Taste is going to move you, girl.
One for you, one for your friend.
Yes. Sour apple.
Six feet for you, not them.
Yeah. Here's what a big league Jew, girl.
Carlos Castro says, Plato in the lobby.
Plato in the lobby.
Patchouli in the elevator.
Oh, man.
German suplexes in the bedrooms.
I don't need... What?
What does German suplex smell like?
Sausage and...
smells like fucking victory.
Yeah,
right. Patchouli, it was at Shaggy's Hotel? What's going on?
No, right. Carlos, in the elevator only, though.
Oh, okay.
In the elevator. I like the separating of scents, though. Like,
yes,
with yours,
absolutely.
Jess, different times of the day.
But Plato in the lobby, though, I get it. Like, yeah. I get that. Yeah. That's
that only lasts for so long.
Because that's one of those sensory recall things where it brings you right back to being a kid. You remember what Plato smelled like.
Yeah. Smart. Like German suplex, man. Yeah, it's good.
Diana McCrean says, clean. Is that a scent? I kid. I like the smell of mint chocolate chip. See? I'm cool with that.
So she's going down the Girl Scout cookie path. I like it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Ryan Timothy Bray says, burning wood. So, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. Yes. I get that.
The smell of arson. I like it.
So you just want to burn out every hotel that you go to?
I like that, though. It's even a fireplace.
It's a comforting smell,
It's a
too.
Fireplace
like,
smell.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely dig on that.
Dudes, man.
No, that's not.
Alfred Perez says they would smell like the rubber tires of new generation one Transformers when they used to have rubber tires. So like a kid smell, sort of that.
Yeah.
Gabriel Diaz says potential sex on the beach, a scent that brings the hope that you might have sex on a beach or the loneliness when you don't. A family values a clean scent that says you can't F, the family is here.
Oh, that's a good smell. Oh my god. Like you want to fuck really bad.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, it's Thanksgiving. Wow. It's Thanksgiving.
Potential.
Like you're just like kissing panties over snatch. Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Damn it. Oh, that's a good smell.
We're liking
it. Oh my god.
We are liking that
yeah.
one.
Yes.
You can't do it, but you could.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you just you lift the panties up and you're just holding on. Ah, girl. I
wish we could do it. And then you're like, hey, we're gonna stay an extra night because you think maybe you stay more.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you move it to the side, axe wound.
Potential sex on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that. Because everything's great.
Oh man, there's nothing better than that.
Because then post-coitus, you're like, oh, what the fuck? Just fucking sand. Yeah. And oh god, I'm pretty sure my younger cousin was listening to us the whole time. And they're all like, just like pissed off.
Reality sets
but,
in.
But pre-coitus, everything's beautiful. It's
magical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, romantic. Good shit.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah.
Shaggy from Buddha Slam says, napalm in the morning.
Charlie don't surf.
Yeah. And patchouli in the elevator.
Tommy Diebel says, fresh bread.
Yeah.
Yes. Honestly. And Kenneth Garza says, the smell of victory.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4!
You don't hit him with the Arkadoo!
So there you go. Once again, olfactory branding. That's not funny.
That's not funny, Phil Anselmo.
Well, guys, we appreciate you guys coming on the Public Access Podcast. We hope that you return. We appreciate you coming thrice, Brian and Jake. This was a fun first time, right?
The pleasure was all pars.
Yeah, well, ponderful. But Brian knows this, Jake. I don't know if you're aware, but Public Access is a educational podcast.
Absolutely.
So we asked our guests as well as ourselves, what did we come to know? All these guys around in a circle and a table, what made us come to learn something about ourselves or maybe each other or the world? So, Jess Anthony Castro, what made you come to know something?
This is actual visual knowledge because I've just been staring at this for like the whole podcast. So, Brian, once again, thank you for the lovely gifts. I can't wait to pop in the finisher, Master C, in his mixtape featuring the movie starring Queen Latifah, Eve, and Tim Meadows, Farrah Fawcett. But the lovely mask that he gave Larry, I had come to know that it's made in Mexico.
It is made in Mexico.
And I gotta give it up for Mexican-made horror prop items because it is high quality, it looks durable, and the look and everything is top-notch. That is a top-notch product made in Mexico. I gotta give it up to...
I'd freak out a little bit if I just saw that with no reference. Because it's pretty good looking.
Yeah. Larry looks good in it.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope it is fake and not like it's made in Mexico
from a real human
from
face.
A factory. Yeah, exactly. It looks it's fake.
Larry's actually checking it right now because
I'm sorry.
You brought that
I'm sorry, but I just
it's latex.
Yeah, it's latex, yeah.
But it's made from a real dead person's face. Yeah,
probably. But like the mold
the
is
mold
made
is from a actual dead person's face.
Yeah,
I get it. Yeah, the cartel.
No, the mold is actually from a skinned dead person's face. Like, they ripped it off, made the mold, and then did it.
I think
so good.
Then there's an episode of how it was made on the Science Channel about how they make those masks in Mexico. Well, that's what I came to
know. Using the skinned face, you know, it's going to get messed up over time. Yeah. So.
I learned two things. One, high school kids in Austin actually would make field trips to San Antonio.
Yep.
So, like, you know, yeah, how about that, man? I never made it. Yeah, we did go to Austin.
Yes.
To go to UT. To
yes.
No, like, yeah, our high school, you know, they would take us to 6th Street and be like, you'll never be this cool. And so, high school kids from Austin coming to San Antonio kind of freaks me out.
Yeah.
No wonder why you guys hate us. Because
the Alamo's boring.
It is, dude.
Like, we came out of it.
And I also learned about a board game called Fraidy Cats.
Yeah,
that I didn't know. It was Milton Bradley. Mm-hmm. I noticed it looked like a lot of fun, and it causes male pattern baldness. So, you know, I think you have a class action lawsuit, Brian. in your hands.
Yeah, so. Freddy Gads from the makers of Crackers in My Bed. That's a real one.
Crackers in My Bed. Yeah.
That's a real one. Crackers in My Bed.
That sounds racist. Don't Wake Daddy. Remember Don't Wake Daddy?
Yeah, Don't Wake Daddy.
Don't Wake Daddy was creepy as fuck, you know, because he's going to slap you in the face.
Gonna, yeah, Don't Wake Daddy. Because he's going to beat the shit out of you because you upset him.
Yeah.
Because he has to go
punch me.
Yeah, because don't wake up early in the morning. You woke him up. He's going to upset you. He's going to slap the shit out of you.
Daddy had a rough night.
Yeah, don't fall asleep around Uncle. Like, I remember that one. Yeah.
I came to know two things. One, that Taser is based off a book.
Yeah.
You know, what is the name of the book?
Thomas
Swift and the Electrical Rifle.
That's super cool. And two, Christian Krill is my new favorite evil guy name that I don't care. At the end of the movie, it's going to say the names and likenesses are not, you know, supposed to represent real people. But I mean, technically they are.
It's not. It's just his name.
Yes, it's not going to. It's just a good sounding name. Just like,
like Christian Trill. Yeah,
it's Christian Krill.
Yeah, his rapper, Christian Trill.
His alternate ego.
And then, like, there's Rachel Knapp, and then, you know, Rachel Wap, like Fetty Wap, like the girl version. Yeah. With Christian Trill.
Christian Krill.
So, Jake, what did you come to know?
I came to learn that I actually do enjoy the scent of Paris Hilton for men.
Yeah.
There you go. You got another one.
It's good, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's a nice scent. I'm telling you.
Not bad.
Women, men, all everyone.
Brian Powell. At the Brian Powell on Instagram.
And Twitter.
And
MySpace.
What did you come to know?
I came to know that scientists are using our noses against us with dollar signs in their eyes.
Damn straight.
Tender heart in the blender.
And I think it's very, I'm surprised. Well, I mean, it has been happening for a while, but I'm surprised, you know, it wasn't more emphasis about this sooner. I think it's great. I think it's interesting. It's very cool.
Well, Jake and Brian, we hope that you guys come back. If people want to be friends with you on social media, where can they do that? Brian, you mentioned at the Brian Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L, Instagram and Twitter, and Brian Powell on Facebook.
Yes, and also check out Last Call Comedy on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a page. We'll post, you know, shows and lineups and things like that for future events on there. And check out at the Friendcast as well on social media, as well as future shows. December 4th is a big one. We're doing a charity show for mental health.
At the Blind Tiger.
At the Blind Tiger Comedy Club, put together by Travis Reyes. And it'll also help to benefit the Battered Women Shelter, so check that shit out.
Yeah.
So, or else, right?
Or, yeah.
And Jake.
Rattler. You can find me on Facebook. My Facebook name is Jake Ace, because I am a weirdo. And you can find me on Instagram, Blanco, B-L-A-N-C-O, _ Jake. So, Blanco Jake, because...
He changed his name on Facebook because he's hiding from Christian.
From Christian Krill.
Yeah, I can't deal with the online bullying
anymore. He'll find you.
And Rachel Napponia.
Christian Krill finds everybody.
Well, we appreciate you guys breaking boundaries and, you know... being our first ever Caucasian guest.
No, that's not a thing.
So thank you all very much, man, and I hope that maybe we can... grow as a civilization and a society because, you know, you guys aren't that bad.
Yeah.
So, Jess, what do we have coming up?
Well, guys, thanks for listening to another progressive episode of Public Access here on oneofus.net. We appreciate you guys listening to us. We appreciate all the feedback, all the good stuff. Hey, if this is your first time listening to it and you enjoyed the show and you're like, hey, I want to hear older stuff. You got any more? Yeah, we sure do. You can go to comediaagogo.com. You can get our first 80-something episodes there. They are wonderful. Lots of good adventures. You can also find our feature-length movie, Blood Cousins. And you can also find our neat, nifty comedy special, Larry and Regan's Big Red and Barbacoa. And more details to come on our adventure with our new short, Get the Hell Out, which, if you didn't watch it, you won't be able to watch it for a long, long, long time. It is gone for a while. That's what you should do. You should follow us on Twitter at ComediaGogo. You should hashtag Public Access. You should also join our Public Access Happy Campers Facebook group and like Public Access and Comedia Go-Go on Facebook.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast, but you could follow me at Larry Garza Comedy on Instagram and at Larry Garza Comic on Twitter. I just recently changed it, rebranding. And I'm just Larry Garza on Facebook, so check it out. But also like the Blind Tiger Comedy Club. Don't forget to like Public Access. Don't forget to like Comedia Go-Go. Don't forget to like the She's Crafty podcast. Don't forget to like Barbacoa Apparel. Don't forget to like Bitter Karaoke. And don't forget to like Last Call Comedy. Guys, don't forget to like Urban Beardster. Shout out to Urban Beardster. So don't forget to like the Alamo Beard Club, and don't forget to like yourself, because you know what? If you don't like yourself, you can't like anybody else. So, Brian, Jake, thank you guys so much for joining us. Regan, Jess, it's always been a pleasure meeting you guys for the first time, time. And thanks, guys, and we love you. So, hashtag... here, we're going to hashtag Christian Krill.
Hashtag a dude's name.
You can't do that.
So
Don't hashtag Christian Krill.
Okay. Hashtag
Christian Trill. Christian T-R-I-L-L. Yes. To prove to us that you listened to this to the end, and we love you for it. Thank you for doing that, Travis, because you're going to be the only one.
no, prove to us. Just go on Facebook right now and put hashtag Christian Trill with a T.
Yeah,
is that C Christian?
C-H Christian, like the religion. Yeah. Christian T-R-I-L-L.
Yeah, so
once the rise and fall of Christian Trill.
Exactly. And Rachel Wapp. Yes. We appreciate you guys listening. Please tell all your friends about it. And, you know, go to oneofus.net on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you can find it. And give us a review. Good, bad, as long as it's the truth. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
This is Jess, y'all.
And we'll smell you later.
Yeah! Here comes the fun! Here comes the fun!